Welcome to episode one of Natural Six. This is it. This is the real beginning of our adventures in the world of Reliquiae, of our campaign, of our heroes' journeys. You can go back and discover how these heroes met by watching Session Zero and Session 0.5 on our YouTube channel. But to all intents and purposes, this is the beginning of the story. This is where it all begins. This is the start of whatever may come. And so I guess, without any further ado, we should play some D&D.
Yes, we should.
Anybody else's pulse sweating?
Oh my god.
Pure adrenaline.
I do have a question. What is D&D?
That's a valid question, and I'll explain after the session.
Explain as we go.
I'd love you to feel your way through it. Great. Just this time round.
Sorry.
No, it's good. I feel exactly the same way. I can't quite believe we're doing it.
Okay.
Five bottles of rosé later.
Yeah. It's a hell of a drug. Before all of this, before breath and thought, before colour and light, before the air and the earth, the mountain and the seabed, before life and death, there was Sentiasa. There was only Sentiasa, an endless plain where the gods of good, evil and chaos, the virtuous, the vile and the wild were locked in war. It would be wrong to say that the war lasted for centuries or millennia, for they fought before and outside of time. They fought for existence, for the essence of all things that are, were, and could yet come to be. When the war ceased, it was the virtuous who claimed victory, claimed Sentiasa, and vanquished the vile and the wild forever. And the end of that war gave way to a beginning. For as the virtuous beheld Sentiasa, scarred and empty and endless, they were driven to create something new, something good. So the virtuous weaved their divine power into the fabric of a new world, Reliquiae. Lush, green, created for the flourishing of mortal life. A crater ringed by a range of mountains called the Alanites, with the great peak of Mount Atria at its center. At the heart of this new world, they founded the city of Alvelion, where they called into existence peoples to populate this land. Each of the nine virtuous gods brought forth a race in their image. So the land grew full of halflings, elves, dwarves, gnomes, tieflings, kobolds, orcs, humans, and dragonborn. A perfect world filled with imperfect beings. And in these peoples flourishing, for all their achievements, there were those that festered. For as dewdrops cling to blades of grass, so avarice and cruelty cling to mortality. And whilst the spring flowers bloomed and the great cities of the world were founded, grievances opened like fresh wounds, and as the wheat was scythed at the time of harvest and the feasting and song lasted long into star-filled nights, so fell mortality to murder and to infighting. The capricious, the rageful, the grieving, the desperate, the lost, sought those who could comfort and advance them. They sought a home. And many of them found it in the web. the last refuge of the hopeless. A shadowy organization that will undertake any task, no matter how great or terrible. Those who require its services pay with gold or with time, binding themselves and successive generations to servitude until their debt is paid. Such oaths are not taken lightly. And the web is ruled with an iron fist, from its leader, a figure known only as the Spider Prince, to those souls that have spun its silken threads throughout the land of Reliquiae. The web is wide. It is five souls such as these that we will journey with. Having proven themselves of use to the web by assassinating elven scion Alea Dakar, the party have been selected to act as bodyguards for the Antiqua, the greatest clerics of the virtuous, as they begin a yearly pilgrimage known as the Deference. 100 years ago, with no warning, the virtuous abandoned the divine city of Alvelion and ascended to the peak of Mount Atria. Alvelion, since the birth of the world, a city where all could commune in person with the virtuous, soon fell into disrepair. So now, after the first winter moon, the Antiqua ascend Mount Atria and bring back teachings for all mortality. Dawn breaks, golden, on the slopes of the mountain. On the edge of a pass, the flames of two small campfires flicker in the mild breeze either side of a collection of tents. Far below, at the foot of the mountain, the crumbled buildings of the city of Alvelion are just visible, pale against the snow that has sat thick on the ground since the first moon of winter. In the years since the virtuous abandoned that city, a city they had called home since the birth of the world, Alvelion has crumbled. Not from war, nor from the slow decline of all things, but with unnatural speed, as if it was the presence of the divine alone that had held together the stones from which the city has built. Yet the snow and the cold and the dissolving marble of Alvelion are far beneath you. Here, on Mount Atria, the mountain of perpetual spring, the air is warm, the grass lush, patches of wildflowers blooming, even in the fissures in the rock face. Can everyone just roll me a d20 and we'll just see who has the highest roll? What'd you get, Dolly?
11.
Aye.
16.
18.
17.
18.
Okay. Whoa. Let's have Radiant and Kelnis roll again.
Roll. What did you get?
7.
I got a 3. Okay. So we begin in the left hand of these two campfires with I, Kelnis, and Endelion sat around them. Why don't you start for us, Kelnis? Why don't you introduce your character?
Introduce my character? What, yeah. To them? Or
no, to our audience.
Well, our lovely audience. Kelnis is a gold dragonborn. And he is sitting by the fire very carefully carving a piece of wood into a shape. And how much introduction do you want us to do?
As much as you'd like. You know, there are people listening to this who have not
watched anything.
Would you give us a poem, maybe some sort of
maybe some kind of at least a limerick?
Oh, okay,
Kelnis, I do love your improvised poetry. So good. Trees are good. Trees are green. Trees make me feel good in my spleen.
God, he's good. You can't coach that.
Kelnis is a dragonborn, gold dragonborn, and he's a druid. And currently he is sitting by the fire, looking, he's contemplating life and the universe and everything, and gently carving a piece of wood into a shape and wiggling his toes by the fire.
And Delian.
Indelion is a human fighter. Indelion is all about the sword and the dagger. Life is simple. Now life is simple. Everything can basically be fixed in life with a strong word and a stronger sword. And that's how, you know, Indelion's been living. Indelion feels most at home in the forest, in the outdoors, absolutely values freedom. And while we might be happy to have our freedom and be outdoors, we're not exactly thrilled with the company that we're keeping. Indelion is definitely somebody who just wants to figure the world out on their own, preferably in silence. but has a debt to pay, and we need to get through that debt in order to have the freedom that we crave. So right now, Indelion is by the fire and is absolutely praying that I doesn't say anything stupid. For once, be quiet. I'm tired.
And I?
I is a small little kobold rogue. I is curious, inquisitive. I is curious to a level where anything that I go rushes head forward into is not purely for the sake of chaos. It is for the sake of intrigue. It's for the sake of kobolds keep themselves to themselves. They're a lesser seen race, but this does also mean that I naturally has a curiosity for anything that is not within the normal realms of kobold life. And I is sat by the fire using using little pebbles just to like kind of throw in the direction of Indelion, and is just sitting there going, what is we thinking? What is we thinking? Is we good?
So at this point, you guys have been together. You've been climbing the mountain for 2 full days. This is the beginning of the third day. You've been in this habit of making camp. You sit on watch. I mean, it's been, I would say so far, the journey has been relatively dull. This is a magical mountain. This is a divine mountain. Whilst it might be, you know, hailing or blowing a storm away from the mountain is always in spring. The flowers are always blooming. You haven't found any aggressive creatures. You haven't been waylaid. You don't have highwaymen. You're here almost as a nominal bodyguard. Because during the deference, the Antiqua, who are the clerics that you're guiding, they forego all their divine magic while they're on the mountain as a sort of symbol of humility, as a symbol that they recognize that the gods that they are about to commune with are greater and more powerful than them, and that all their magic comes from these gods. So as a sign of respect, they don't use their magic. And so they have a bodyguard to support them if anything should happen. But Indelion, I would fancy it's been quite a dull few days for you. There's been remarkably little, frankly, twatting of anything.
Keep throwing those pebbles.
She's been miserable to be with. She just complains all the time.
There's nothing.
When are we going to fight something?
Yeah.
I has been having a great time.
And we cut over to the right-hand fire, and there are 3 figures around that fire, first of which, Radiant, could you introduce yourself?
Yes. I am Radiant Thornbear. He is a wood elf wizard. And he has this stunning golden skin that has been harrowingly torn apart at some point in his past. And his face is so structurally beautiful, it would dazzle anyone. But at the same time, it possesses this kind of hideous desecration at the same time. And it's almost like if you were to taste it, it would be the most beautiful nectar, but it would be sour in some way. And
He constantly has his hood up, and this beautiful golden skin he kind of tries to hide from the world. He doesn't remember who he is, and I think that is an important thing. Like, he is, as we will continue to learn, there are lots of things about his past that he doesn't know. And so he has this almost kind of reserved anger, reserved curiosity, reserved arrogance, because he's just trying to figure out who he is. And so there's almost like an erratic nature to this person, because he's just testing the boundaries. The most interesting thing I love about his appearance is that one of his eyes changes color all of the time. And it's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here. And so I would imagine if Radian were sitting around the fire, he would probably be staring directly into the fire. I think there is this something within him that I think is that maybe his memories will come back to him in some way. That something about his past will just stir. And so he will just be staring into the fire, waiting for something to happen, waiting for something to spark inside of him. Probably looking a little bit emo, but there's a lot more to him than that.
Can you roll me a history check?
Yes.
So D20 and then add your history modifier in your skill.
That is a dirty 21.
A dirty 21.
Shame, not 20, you would have remembered everything.
Yeah. And I'm back.
So you're doing this thing that you've found yourself doing before. Almost, yeah. If you can get into a meditative state, if you can close everything else out, maybe you can break through this barrier, this feeling. Maybe you can permeate that and get through to the truth of everything. Understand, remember. And you go back and you take it almost step by step, retracing your steps.
Yeah.
The path up the mountain, the time in Alvelion, waiting for the Antiqua to arrive from their various estates in cities like Barun and Lode, Escalon, Caressian, all these cities, Vale, all the cities all across Reliquia that they've come from. And then you remember the journey back to Escalon. You remember the party with Alaedakar. You're pushing your memory. The basilisk meeting the spinner, pushing your memory. And then you hit the barrier that you always hit, which is lying face up in water, waking on the shores of the Lake Kova with your brother leaning over you and saying, "Thought we'd lost you there for a minute." And beyond that, it's just black.
Yeah. He doesn't trust. He doesn't trust at all. But this life being thrust into this world, this web, he doesn't know. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't trust his feelings at all. Like, he goes from anger to happiness to joy instantly. There is no control, because he just has no control over any of them. And he feels betrayed, I think. He feels betrayed to be here. He's in a bit of a state.
And sat next to him, Dolly.
So Dolly de Winter is a tiefling bard. She's not musical, though. She's always had a way with words, and that's always been her gift. And it's not always been a gift in a positive way. She's here today. She's endlessly optimistic and quite chaotic, but revels in that. So at the minute, she sees Radiance sort of in a bit of a funk and is casting thaumaturgy on the fire and making it flicker different colors and being like, "Radian, it's your time." "Radian, it's time for a dance party."
"Dolly, stop it.
Not now." "Well, I have to say, I'm very excited."
"I'm not, okay? I don't trust this. I don't trust any of it."
And there's a third figure at the fire with you, who is a heavy-set, pale-skinned man, great big chest, barrel chest, big arms, a dark beard, almost black, and long, slicked back black hair. And this is Morgan. And Morgan, you first met back at the... when you met the spinner after the basilisk. He was one of the spinner's attendants, almost a heavy. And he met you in Alvelion. There, the web wanted someone a little more senior to lead the effort. Whether or not you'd proved yourself competent, you hadn't necessarily proved yourself perfectly sociable. And so they needed someone who could act as a bit of a figurehead. And Morgan is sat here watching, and he's a man of few words, gruff. Roll me a perception check, Dolly, as you play with the flames and try and tease Radiant.
Where are we at? Hold on, sorry. Skills up. Perception, you say. Mm. That is 15.
15. You're pretty sure that you see something quite unusual, which is the beginnings of the flicker of a smile from Morgan. You haven't seen him really show much emotion beyond kind of basic commands. He'll chat a bit, but he's always felt quite guarded. But there was something about that that he kind of enjoyed. And then as soon as he catches you looking, he sort of literally wipes the smile off his face.
Right, well, sun's almost up. We should think about heading off as soon as the antique arrives.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. I mean, come on, it's been a boring couple of days. We need something to happen. I thought this is meant to be a big deal. Come on.
I mean, it's not a party.
Yeah, but it could be. Kind of.
I don't like parties.
That shocks me.
Well, we should summit later today, so the antique will say. Everyone roll me perception, please.
Wait, active perception or...?
Active, always. Whenever it's a roll, it's always active. You only ever use your passive perception. It's only ever really relevant to me, not to you. 25 to 30? Anyone roll super well?
25 to 30?
Yes. Anyone roll 20 to 24? Ooh, great. So
are we adding our modifiers? Or
yes, so this would be your perception modifier in whatever your skills is in.
Okay.
What did everyone else get? We've got a
21.
We've got a 21.
17.
10. I'm deep in my carving.
Deep in your carving. Deep in your whittling.
9. At this point, I am attempting to juggle pebbles miserably.
Roll me performance.
Yes. 20, dirty 20.
Okay. Right, it's inadvertently very amusing and entertaining, but not for any of the reasons you think it is. Okay. What you were hoping for was this kind of display of dexterous skill, and instead it's like accidentally very sophisticated clowning. It's full court jester. Yeah, it's hard. It's even in Delian, you would be forced to acknowledge that it is. It's probably the best. It's the best thing he's done, right?
That may
be small potatoes, yeah. But it's the best thing he's done.
It's better than the noise of him throwing them.
Yeah. And Dolly,
14.
Okay. So, I mean, you'd all kind of hear this gradually, but certainly Raging, you would be the first one who snaps into awareness of it. There is this little kind of collection of tents, 9 tents, and each is decorated in slightly different ways, the 9 tents of these antiqua who are around, and you hear a sort of the stretching of canvas, and the first of the antiqua pokes their head out. And as it has been on the other days that you've woken with them, the first one to put their head out is Grawnoth. And Grawnoth is a dwarf, a cleric of Ullin. He has proved to be the most amenable, the most likely to talk in a genuine way with you. Some of the antiqua have really kept themselves to themselves, but others have been a little warmer. And he's the first one, and he looks over, in fact, at you, Radian, as you look over at him, and he little hand of acknowledgement, and then you see him sort of stretch and kind of work.
Morning. Like,
hey, good morning. Good morning, and another beautiful day on the mountain.
Yeah, gonna be a good one.
Of course. How could it not be?
Grawnoth, can you do me a favor? Mm. Can you get the others up?
Roll me persuasion with disadvantage.
It's one.
You rolled it out one. Okay. Okay. He puts his hand on your shoulder and firmly, but not unkindly, says to you,
I understand your desire to get off this mountain, but the beauty you will see at the peak will make up for any frustration you feel now. The Antiquil will rouse themselves. We will go through the rites, and we will be on our way.
I can't believe you just told him to get everybody off.
And he sort of like walks off towards the little cluster of ten, and you can see like more of the Antiqua are rousing themselves. You look across, and Morgan is, his eyes are boring into you, and he quite unkindly says,
"Don't ever do that again."
Radiant's in trouble.
That's not your place, all right? That's what I'm here for.
Radiant then stares him directly in the face and then just walks off.
Okay. What are the rest of you doing? You're seeing all the Antiqua kind of getting out. You've got your own kind of packs and various things, bedrolls that fire needs to be doused.
I'm entirely packed already.
I've got kid already in the car.
I is entirely packed already, and I turns to Radiant and goes,
I can do it.
Oh, God. I just leave him. Let him go.
What are you whittling?
A spoon.
A spoon?
Walnut.
Oh, nice.
A walnut spoon.
Okay. Did you pick that walnut up on the way, or? Nice.
There's been an amazing collection of trees actually on the way up here. And those of you who,
collecting the wood.
Yeah, those of you who've travelled more widely would know that there are lots of different wood. There's lots of different wood. There's lots of different forests in Reliquiae. There's kind of pine, and there's walnut, and then there's the walking forest of Lathi, which seems to be like a sentient tree. Things all completely of their own making. But it's like this is the crucible of all creation here, and so there are flowers that you've maybe heard of that exist on this mountain, fruits that you've heard they have in distant markets on the other side of the continent, but they all seem to bloom and flower and grow here. And so I would imagine that for Kelniss in particular, there's maybe been a...
It's been great!
Yeah, there's been a bit of a thrill.
Yeah, I'm like on the side of the path all the way up going, ooh, that's a nice one. Ooh, that too. My pack is overflowing with pieces of wood.
Twigs and flowers. And
logs.
Petals stuck everywhere.
Yes. I've got a daisy chain in my...
Yeah! The dolly maid.
While this conversation is going on, I've just started to pack for Kelniss.
Oh. Yeah.
How many spins have you got on you right now? How many have you made?
Oh, 3 dozen, maybe.
Can I have that one?
Just spins. Do you want a spoon?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. I do like when people like my spoons.
Can I see it?
It's not finished yet.
How good is the spin?
Roll me. Okay, let's say, Kelniss, can you roll me a sleight of hand check to see how dexterous you've been. So it'll be in your skills under sleight of hand towards the bottom.
Come on. Oh, nice. 6 times.
Spoons.
It's 9 plus 3.
Okay. 12. It's a nice spoon.
It's a spoon.
It's a nice spoon. Yeah, like not only it has function, but it has some form as well. What have you been carving and whittling it with?
Oh, just a little knife.
Yeah,
the spoons.
Yeah. No, it's a fork actually.
It's a wooden knife.
So what you see, like what Kelniss hasn't done is he hasn't yet worked out the tool marks within the handle of the spoon or the bowl of the spoon, and so
it's like a cubist spoon.
Yeah, it's a cubist spoon. So it has a kind of, like you said, it's not finished yet. You know, it's kind of a still has a quite a rough quality to it, but there's like a very consistent thickness in the bowl, and there's a kind of gentle roundness, a forming roundness to the handle. There's a tiny little bit of embellishment where he's kind of carved a little groove into almost the end of the handle. You can see that it's going to be a wonderful spoon.
It's gonna be a wonderful. This is already my favorite spoon. I'm gonna tuck it into my belt and be like, keeping this one.
It's not finished.
Oh, do you want to finish it?
Yes, please.
I mean, it's perfectly serviceable.
It's not finished.
Okay, fine.
Again, while this is all...
I'll finish and give back to you.
While this is all continuing, I is attempting to pack Gildas's bag, but every time he keeps spilling a spoon and he's just walking around picking up spoons.
Roll me a d12. You did say you made 12 spoons, right?
It's three dozen.
Okay, normally three d12.
I don't know why, though. Can I take that back?
No, it's canon.
Yeah, it's canon. Three. Here.
Oh, actually, yeah, at the same... Yeah, go on. Okay. Okay, we've got a 9. Well,
that's a d20. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You need another d20.
No, so we go on.
We've got a 9, a 10, and a 5.
Okay, so you drop 24 spoons. there is, again, roll me a performance check with advantage. So roll twice and take the highest score for advantage.
Good.
11, 12, sorry.
Okay, it's not as funny as the juggling, but it's a sense when you go and see like a theatre company or you go and see a film and you can tell the director isn't at the height of their powers anymore. That's the experience you're having watching I struggle with 24 spoons, 12 of which have actually stayed in the bag, which is a blessing.
I watch this with despair on my face.
My spoon. I sob it.
I take this very literally and immediately just drop everything.
Freeze. Okay, 36 spoons are on.
Can I just say, you then hear a noise and Radian just goes, ah, and he realises that there are actually more spoons in his bag as well.
So,
Kelniss, please, stop putting your stuff in my bag. I've said this for the third time.
I ran out of spoons.
We had this conversation before. Do not put your things in my bag.
Can you roll me a perception check? You've got a little further up the pass, Radian.
13.
Okay, so you can just about make out movement right down at the base of the mountain. You left Alvelian, but what you'll be returning to is something a little different, which is called the Festival of Benediction. And the Festival of Benediction is when the Antiqua descend with these instructions from the gods, from the virtuous. They're going to give the instructions, and then there's like a festival. It's a festival for the true beginning of winter. And you can just about make out these great big stretched tents, like bell tents, brightly coloured and all overlapping each other. It almost looks from up here like a collection of autumnal leaves all overlapping on the ground. And you can see that there are more of these, that spread even since the sun went down last night. And by now the Antiqua have all started to rouse themselves and they're bundling up their tents. But what they're also doing is going to perform a ceremony that they performed yesterday that you watched called the Rites. And there is a little copy of a dark book, a brown leather bound book. And everyone roll me a religion check, because it might be interesting, because maybe one or two of you might not have seen this before. So, D20 plus your religion modifier. Let's start with Radian.
That's a 10.
It's a 10. And Delian?
3.
Kelniss?
Dirty 20.
Dirty 20. I?
Also a 10.
A 10.
And 4.
Okay, a 4. In fact, maybe kind of Kelniss is maybe the only one who instantly recognizes it. But what you got a 4, a 10,
three.
A 3.
And a 10.
Okay.
I actually have a minus one.
I'm
not smart.
Erase a religion from my brain.
But even you would recognize this straight away, Kelniss, as a copy of The Remnants, which is the sort of universal religious text, almost like a kind of the one sacred text Every race, every god has their own sort of subtext that they read. That's a terrible phrase, but they have their own sort of native text written in their native language, and that reflects more kind of their culture. But the Remnants is the universal text that talks about the beginning of the world and talks about the divine war and talks about the beginning of the endless peace, which is this time that you live in now. And there's this brown leather tome of the Remnants, which is placed on a little pillow. And then the Antiqua are all, some of them are on little kneeling stools. Some of them have just kneeled on the grass. You notice, comes that Grawnoth the dwarf immediately just kind of kneels down on the grass. And they are kneeling in a sort of semicircle around this this pillow with this copy of the book. And Morgan, at this point, inclines his head and says, "Right, come on, stand to attention." And he sort of stands behind the Antiqua, and he clasps his hands in front of him, and he bows his head, and he sort of waits for you to do the same. Does anyone want to try and go against the convention, or are you all quite happy to go along with this?
I immediately run up beside him and just exactly the same as
he does. Straight away there.
I'll stand to attention, but I won't. Not the religious life.
Okay.
Not for
sure.
Me.
So a little bit like when people are quite content to listen to a prayer but don't like saying amen. That's the vibes. Yeah.
To be clear, when I does it, it's not in a out of a like a deference or anything. It's purely a, this is what we're doing. Okay, yeah.
Follow.
Oh,
the
you
guy.
Didn't need to be clear. We're
he's always experimenting.
Oh yeah.
He's never thinking conceptually.
we understood where you were going with that.
Okay, so unless anyone else has anything that they would like to particularly do, this rite ceremony begins, and you see one of the Antiqua steps forward, and it's a brightly green-skinned orc, and she's called Runa. And you have you've been dealing with the Antiqua a bit, as I said. Runa keeps themselves to themselves. She has a kind of warrior-like posture, an orc of few words, not dissimilar to Morgan, really, in terms of how she carries herself. And she sort of rises to her feet from her knees and stands in front of her compatriots, has this book which she picks up. It suddenly looks very small in her huge hands. Everybody roll me insight checks, please. So D20 and then add your insight skill to it, which is your wisdom plus any proficiencies. What did you get, Rachel?
10.
10?
7.
7?
13.
Mm-hmm.
18.
18?
19.
19. Okay, so certainly, Kelniss and Dolly and I, you can see straight away that Runa is not in her element. She doesn't like being stared at. She doesn't like being the center of attention. And she sort of clears her throat a little bit, opens this book to the first page. A few little sort of little nasal exhalations. She cracks her neck and she starts to read. And what she starts to read is very, very familiar to all of you, apart from possibly I. The gods are real. All life flows from them. Without them, there is nothing. There can only be nothing. Before the creation of all things, the gods existed in an endless dark. Within them lay dormant all knowledge, all light, all colour, sound, speech and thought. Yet all the powers lurked within this boundless black, things great and terrible. These words are not my own, they were spoken by the divine, given shape by their breath and meaning by their minds. All life flows from them, without there is nothing. And all the rest of the Antiqua say, there can only be nothing. Immediately give a little clap, and one of the heads of the Antiqua immediately snaps round, and it's a very haughty elven face, a little golden circlet round their head, a sharp featured silvery hair, and they look at you with suspicion. Did you try and imply, Dolly, there that you point at You point at I. So Dolly, roll deception to see if you can make it look like it was just I who clapped.
Absolute. Oh, God damn it.
Absolute children.
Oh, my God. Oh, you.
Yeah, huh? So I rolled a 4, but Dolly's very good at deception, so it's an 11.
Okay.
Whoa.
Jamming.
I'd say with an 11, that just about breaks it. The Antiqua were very much in their moment of kind of religious fervor, and so by the time you look round, you see this elf who you know is called Barabask, turns around and looks at you and glares daggers at you and says, you know, gives, oh, heavens, and looks to the kobold cleric and says, Parvus, can't you control your minion? And then looks back at Runa. Can you roll me? Well, in fact, you wouldn't even need to roll for this. They just called that cleric Parvus. That kobold has a name.
Yeah.
You've never known a kobold with a name.
Yeah.
And once the head snapped back, Runa, who then has to try and flick through the pages, and you can see she's sort of got claws on her hands and therefore is struggling a little bit, still seems a little nervous, even after the polite applause that greeted her initial reading. She flicks through a few pages. Virtuous children are instructed to love and to learn. We grow by divine favour, find glory by divine grace, find comfort in divine power. We make this pilgrimage in deference and all humility, knowing that we cannot wander this world alone, now as ever they are the compass. And the rest of the Antiqua say, they guide and command. And Runa looks, immediately closes the book and gives this great big exhale. Looks very, very relieved to be done with public speaking. Okay. Yeah. Are you
literally not even audible? But it's just for self. Just.
I'm gonna roll something for Runa. Yeah. Runa, despite herself, looks up and mouths, thank you. She was really quite charmed by it. Yeah. And so what you also see is you see that each of the Antiqua offer their own kind of personal gestural sort of sign offs to that. To that little thing, they sort of so the cleric of Ignas kind of makes a shape with their hand, almost like a flame. That the elf that Barabas kind of creates this tree with his hands. It's very ornate. His takes twice as long as everybody else's.
It always reminds me of Rimmer.
yeah, absolutely. And they finish and they start getting their bedrolls and they're packing up for the day. And you get the sense that. These are the last few moments before you get on the road. Is there anything that anyone wants to do? What I am going to get from you when we leave is a kind of marching order and to see if you're kind of trying to chat with any of the Antiqua, if you're chatting amongst yourselves. But
Dolly's going to try and pick up some of the spins that were spilled on the ground and do what she does every morning, which is try and stuff them into Radiant's bag.
So roll me 3d12.
Yes. I love that we're on this side of the table.
It's like you just need crayons at this point. You know what I mean? Like,
would that's you do this to my boy? My boy is in pain.
11. Okay, you get 11 spoons into Radiant's. Well, you get 11 spoons ready for Radiant's bag. Roll me a sleight of hand check. See how good you are at getting them in there without him noticing.
Wait, so how many spoons are going to be in Radiant's bag now?
Well, potentially 11. Potentially 11, but we'll see.
Plus what was already in there.
Was already in there.
Whatever she got in there yesterday.
17.
That beats your passive perception.
So yes, it does.
I think in the gentle but kind of meaningful commotion of everyone packing up, you are unaware of 11 spoons being snuck
into your bag. Say that what he does is he picks up his bag, not knowing that there's 11 spoons are in there, and he walks over to Barabask, and he says, I'm so sorry about my colleagues. That was very inappropriate.
Roll me a persuasion check.
No, it's okay. It's 15.
15.
I thought you were going to be like, you know what, actually, yeah. I don't say anything
to
him.
You know, it's okay, he doesn't.
He's changed his mind.
Yeah.
So Barabask looks to you and sort of gives a look underneath his, sort of from underneath his eyebrows, and says, "This is a sacred ritual. It is a rare honor to find yourselves on the Divine Mountain. Clearly you are aware of that, and that speaks to your credit, but I cannot say the same for the rest of your companions. I would advise you to do what is in your power to keep them in line, or do I need to talk to the brute that leads you?" And he looks to Morgan, who is just packing away. "Do you lead these bag of scoundrels?"
"Yes."
"Right. Well, in that case, I shall hold you personally responsible for any other faux pas."
"Of course."
At this point, having seen Dolly play her little trick, I walk over to Radiant and say, "Can I have my spoons back?"
"I gave you your spoons back." "Look, I'll show you. There's nothing in my..." "Who put spoons in my bag?"
Yeah. Okay, Dolly points at I. Roll me a deception check again.
Oh, natural one.
It's a seven.
It's a seven.
It's a seven.
I don't know why I'm
happy. No, I had the same earlier. I was like, no, it's a seven.
I think with a 14.
You both did it.
They're in cahoots.
Was it both of you?
I am totally unaware, because this entire time, I unbroken, I have just been watching. I'm not even hearing. I'm just staring at Parvus. Because in a, just a way where I'm just watching, because I've never known a co with a name for, I'm just watching to be like, are you like me?
Roll me a perception check.
Silence is an admission of guilt, by the way.
My dear Lord. Again, I have no wisdom. That is a two.
That's a two. Okay.
Survive.
You, Parvus is in conversation with the Dragonborn cleric. The two of them are speaking. They have their backs to you. You can't make out any sound, and there's kind of too many people in the way, kind of people, if you like, wiping the frame back and forth. What you do suddenly become aware of is the rest of your party are staring at you, as is Barabask. Who just says, "Right, explain yourself." And you have no idea why at this point.
Okay, so I turn around and immediately look at everyone and just go and point at Dolly.
Roll me deception with disadvantage. Roll twice, take the lowest.
Three.
Okay. Barabask turns to you, Radiant, and says, "If this is an indication of your ability to command, it reflects upon you very poorly." And he just sweeps off to join the rest of the Antiqua.
"I'm sorry, command?"
"Yeah, I also am interested in that," says Morgan. "I'm fascinated, in fact, that you've seen fit to usurp me on..."
"I know how this looks."
"I'm not sure you do."
"I simply went over to Barabask to apologise for what the others have been up to, and I panicked. He asked if I was in charge, and I said yes. Now, it also means that if anything goes wrong, the responsibility is entirely on me, so maybe, Morgan, finally you can, you know, you don't have to take the fall for how useless everyone's being, but please, come on, we've got to get this together."
Roll me a persuasion check. Let's see how Morgan takes it.
It's a one.
It's a one.
Not great. Okay. Not great.
So not great. Actually, great. Not great is a really good. Is really good. He says,
"My orders come from the spinner. They don't come from you. Get in line."
And the Antiqua start to set off. Morgan is going to position himself just ahead of them. There are nine Antiqua, and they all sort of walk in a little cluster, start to make their way up the mountain pass. Where would you guys like to position yourselves within that cluster? You can kind of be in there trying to chat with people, or you can flank, or you can go behind, or you can go up front with Morgan. Where do people feel like they'd like to go?
just a little behind Parvus, just again, just the entire way, barely even looking where I'm going, just staring.
Eyes fixed on Parvus. Okay, Dolly, where are you?
I'm walking just slightly behind Radiant, going, you're in trouble again.
Where are you, Radiant?
I'm right at the back.
Right at the back. Okay, so so Dolly and Radiant at the back. I'm going to say I is kind of towards the middle, trying to get towards Parvus. Kelniss and Endelian, where do you think you guys are?
I'll take point. I'll be up front.
Yep, Morgan and Endelian. And then Kelniss, where are you?
I think I've gone up front as well. I think I quite like Morgan. Straightforward dude, you know?
Mm.
Just, you get what you see.
Likes your spoon.
You likes my spoon.
Yeah, loves your spoon.
Party at the front.
I think these are the kinds of spoons that at a farmer's market you'd sell for like $50.
Oh,
yeah.
In, oh 100, but they're artisan spoons.
In Wales, we have the Welsh Love Spoon, which is intricately carved wooden spoons that have lovers' knots on the top.
Oh.
They're really, they're a quite an integral part of Welsh culture, but when everyone says like a carved wooden spoon to me, I always imagine a Welsh love spoon.
Well, so, I have 11 of them in my bag.
If you can find a market, maybe we get back down I'm gonna sell these spoons. The party of Benny.
There is quite literally a market for that.
After the deference, these are getting sold.
So you begin your third day of climbing. And you're still following this pass of pale stone, almost marble, that has wound through these groves of budding trees and then alongside clear streams and patches of brilliant wildflowers and these little smooth rock clusters. And now it bends its way lazily towards the summit. And the smooth path underfoot, it, despite the smoothness of the stone, it sort of offers this unerring grip. And there are clusters of crystals all along its length, brightly coloured and shimmering in the sun that has now fully risen. This winter sun that across the rest of the continent might be cold, but here still feels balmy and warm. And the rest of you can now start to see what Radiant saw. These clusters of tents like autumn leaves right down at the base as the rest of the populace prepare for the Festival of Benediction. So let's start with I. Roll me a stealth check to see how close you can get to Parvus without anyone kind of feeling like you're in his space.
18.
So you get right up close behind and you can hear he's speaking to the cleric of the Dragonborn, who is this very beautifully golden dragonborn. She's called Carvilius, and she has she's felt like quite a senior figure within the Antiqua. You've been able to gauge, even in the time that you've all been there, that there are some who are happy to go with the flow, and there are some who feel the need to be a little bit more upfront and take more command. And certainly Carvilius would fall into that latter category. And you hear her. You hear her speaking with Parvus, and she says to him, "The cloud cover so low. Do you see that?" And Parvus responds, and you've never heard Parvus's voice before, but yes. Extremely low. I've never seen cloud cover quite so low on the mountain peak. Roll me an insight check.
18.
It sounds like Parvus is trying desperately to alter their voice. You know how kobolds talk. This is not a syntax and a way of speaking that you've heard from Parvus. It's almost like he's trying to copy the way Carvilius speaks. I wonder. It will be very interesting, of course, to talk to the Virtuous when we ascend. And I wonder whether the cloud formation is perhaps something to do with them. And Carvilius simply looks down and says, "Yes, we will ask them when we reach the peak, of course. It's a good thought, Parvus. Very good." And he's just going to roll a little perception check He rolls really high, and he just turns around and sees you, Eye, looking at him, and immediately tries to avert his eyes, tries desperately not to make eye contact. says to Cavendish, if it's all the same to you, my dear esteemed friend, I will see how DeMillo is getting on. Yes, of course. Don't trouble yourself. And he starts to slip through the crowd, heading towards a little halfling cleric. Do you want to try and follow him, or are you content with what you've heard?
I'm content with what I've heard. I would now like to. So Parvus puts it back.
Parvus has pushed himself a little further forward. So you have up front. You have the runa. You have the orc runa. You have the halfling, the gnome. Then you had this little cluster, which is the tiefling, the dragonborn, and the kobold. And then at the back, you have the dwarf, the human, and whoever I've forgotten, the other one. There are nine. It's hard to keep nine NPCs in your head, really, particularly when you've had to write accent notes for them all. So they've started to go further forward.
Okay. I also will, but now I'm content with what I've heard. I'm content. Well, not content, but I'm kind of processing. Moving forward now, would like to just be behind the gnome, just staring at the gnome in the back of the head with a deep sense of distrust. Just literally now, it's just more of a, I'm watching you.
Right. They have incredibly low perception, and they rolled a nine, and you hear them just humming to themselves, just humming and having quite a merry old.
Do the hum for us.
And actually, that's a really lovely reminder that at this point, Barabask starts singing. Barabask sings this song for the entirety of the climb all day. And it goes a little something like, it's a sort of, and by the goddess mighty handsome tum 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 rum tum tum, I hope did come to this blessed land, rum tum rum tum ta rim pa tum pa tum tum, her eyes green, her hair of gold, rum tum ta, and it is
beautiful.
Barabask has quite a nasal voice,
yeah,
and it's very strident, and it's only sort of five or six lines, almost like a memory verse that has just been repeated ad infinitum.
It's just, I know a song that'll get on your nerves.
Yes, it absolutely is.
The whole way up the mountain.
And they are up the top. I'm going to have Dolly and Radian, who are towards the back. Can you roll me perception checks?
Dirty.
Please, the floor is yours.
You can. I can't.
Get it with
that's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. And a 19.
Wow.
Okay.
Sorry. I threw my pen on the floor.
No, that's totally fine. It's an emotional moment. It really is the crux of the campaign. This was kind of it. So I'm glad it had the impact that I wanted. You see, as soon as the song starts up, put the pen down. And you've knocked Indelian over.
Oh, gosh, you haven't broken her.
She's fine. She's fine, okay?
So, as soon as the song starts up, you see Gronoth's, shoulders sag, the dwarven cleric. And you hear him say, do either of you speak dwarvish?
No, I don't.
Okay, you hear him mutter something under his breath, and just keeps shaking his head. And with a 20 and a 19, you see that his teeth are clenched, and he's sort of leaning on his staff with every step, trying not to react to the song.
Could Radian immediately obviously notice this and rush up to him because he sees it as this moment of kind of weakness? And he just goes, terrible song, isn't it?
And he roll me persuasion with advantage. Roll me twice, take
that's
the
a
highest.
20.
That's a nat 20. That's a nat 20. Okay, amazing.
It crits.
Yeah, crits. Crits. He looks at you and he says, "You would think, after so long in one another's company, he would have found, I would have found a way to find balance in my life, and he wouldn't make me so frustrated. But here we are. Another day in paradise."
God, it doesn't bode well for us, does it?
No, it does not.
Even a month.
Listen, while I've got you, Groroth, may I call you Groroth?
Of course,
absolutely.
Please.
Listen, earlier, when I came up to you, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean any offence. And
none was taken. As you've seen, I am not immune from the frustrations that you feel. You know? We are all striving for balance. And we have to learn when the truth is necessary, when the truth is vital, and when the truth would hurt those that do not deserve our ire.
Dali's going to sidle up at this point. She's been making a daisy chain crown just while we've been walking. She's going to skip up. She's going to hand that to Radian and then go, "Yeah, but the truth is subjective anyway, so, like, you know..."
The truth is subject. That's a very interesting philosophical point of view. Roll me a religion check with advantage.
Ooh, that's a natural 6.
Hey!
That's another natural 6!
Whoa! Okay, we're dispensing with how the dice work. That's good. That's a 20. You would know that the dwarven goddess Ullin is the goddess of truth. Mm-hmm. And so her whole shtick is... you know, you can't bend from the truth. And the dwarven culture, occasionally dwarves can be seen as extremely blunt because it's sort of against their faith to even tell a white lie. That would be deceiving someone and you mustn't deceive anybody. And you get the sense that Groroth is a little wiser than that, has learned a little more than that, and so is fascinated with this perspective that you bring to it. It says, "I've started to think something similar myself. There are good lies and there are terrible lies. I wonder where the line marks the change from one to the other."
I guess, and you know what this, it's, I mean, it's completely situational, isn't it? It's what it's doing for you in that moment in time.
Or what it's doing for the collective, I would challenge you.
Maybe, yeah.
"We are very small," and he gestures to the mountain. He gestures high to the peak. Says, "We feel as if we are the only ones, but of course, we are as inconsequential as the fruit on the vine or as a bird flying overhead."
That is true.
"Then what is your consequence, Groroth?"
"What is my consequence?"
"What do you feel you are doing in this world? What change do you feel like you're making? All of this, this pomp, this circumstance, you marching up here, us protecting you, what service does it provide?"
"It's a good question. I wonder whether all this pomp is necessary. I wonder whether our status as sacred, untouchable Antiqua is necessary. And yet, when I turn to the virtuous, turn to the teachings of my God, and the gods that brought all of us into being, this is the task they have assigned to me."
"And yet, we're here to protect you. We're here to save your life. But if it truly came to it, would you really not use magic? Would you not protect yourself? Would you let yourself die?"
"I hope we never have to find out." And he smiles at you. He feels warm towards you. Even in the journey up to this point, the most likely to have a real conversation with you. And there doesn't seem to be any sharpness or malice in those eyes. Roll me an insight. Just see if you can tell of anything deeper going on beneath the surface.
I can't tell. I can't tell. It's a 2.
It's a 2. Okay, he strikes you as straightforward. He strikes you as truthful. And he strikes you as having accepted part of what you've said, to have been comfortable being challenged in his status. Let's head up to the front, to where Morgan and Endelian and Kelnis are ploughing on.
Credible banter.
It's just non-stop banter.
Extraordinary banter. It's just banter up front.
Yeah. How many more spoons you made?
Yeah, what are you doing up there, the two of you?
Talking about the forest. There's so many trees, you said this, right? We're walking up this mountain. If there's one thing the two of us have in common, it's a love of the forest, of the trees, of the flowers. The noise, the movement, whatever the forest gives. It's the one thing we...
Mm. I've been pointing out all the different flowers and their qualities.
Roll me a nature check with advantage. So roll twice and take the highest.
Ooh, that's a dirty 19. Ooh, and a dirty 22.
Okay, so, Endelian, you would have grown up knowing a little bit, you know, a fair amount, really, about the natural world. You've never met anyone who knows as much as Kelnis. And Kelnis, I think you've probably never had as receptive a student, or maybe any student. And so to have someone
this shit up.
Oh, no. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, nobody ever wants to talk to me about flowers and moss.
Yeah.
You know.
And as each new plant, as each new cluster of flowers, as each new vine and bough hoves into view. You know, Endelian, that, you know, with just a look to Kelnis, he will immediately start to talk about what that is. And you even notice that kind of Morgan, despite himself, leans in and is starting to kind of take note of you. Roll me an insight check, Kelnis.
Insight. 19.
Okay, he's looking at you with respect. He, as I said, hasn't given much of himself. You only know him as Morgan. Hasn't told you where he's from. I would suggest, probably haven't particularly tried to interrogate him. But he falls into a kind of easy lockstep with you. And despite his usual kind of military style vigilance, you can see he's sort of almost ready to take part in the conversation if invited in, but doesn't quite know how to do it. Not used to small talk much.
I think, and I pick up on this.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. I think I can, noticing this, I want to open the door for him because I respect this guy. He seems like a straightforward, reasonable person. I say, you know, So, Morgan, what do you know of trees?
Well,
let me find out how much you know. Let me roll a nature for him. He has a minus one. He rolled... Oh, I thought he rolled a two. He rolled a 12. Okay, so you know.
Well, my grandfather grew fruit trees. I know a little about that. Used to take cuttings and grow them. Apples, pears, stewing fruits, really, but always seemed something quite honest about them, you know? You get out what you put in.
Stewing fruits are good. Did you ever climb the trees?
And a little half smile.
I was actually very good at climbing trees.
I bet you were.
I'm still actually very good at climbing trees.
And you see, Morgan he's wearing full plate armor. Like a great big breastplate. He's got these like spiked shoulder pads. He's got this huge shield and a sword, a long sword that he's holding in one hand. And he looks, for a second, he looks like a 12-year-old boy. For a second, he's like,
I'd probably climb any tree on this mountain. I reckon.
Okay, and I I point to an oak about 30 feet away, and I say to Morgan, I bet you can't climb that.
Roll me persuasion.
You got this.
Come on.
So 30-14.
Okay. He looks over his shoulder. You three are kind of used to walking longer distances than some. And the Antiqua are kind of reasonably slow. So you're maybe 60 feet ahead at this point, and he chances a look back over his shoulder and he goes, cover for me. And he dashes to he hands his sword to you, Kalnus, his shield to Endelian. It's really heavy. I mean, properly heavy. Yeah. You guys are fine, but you're aware that that's a weighty piece of kit.
Carry this stuff so you can climb trees.
And he's gonna make an athletics check to try and climb a tree. Oh, he rolled 5.
Oh, no.
So Morgan starts to... He does that thing where it's not until you're at the base of the tree that you actually realise how tall the tree is and how there aren't really that many branches at low level that will allow you to start the climb. Mm. So he tries to reach his hands up, but he's inhibited by these great big spiky shoulder things that almost... He can feel the pressure on his ears, and so you see he decides not to do that. So he tries to wrap his arms around the body of the trunk and sort of put his feet flat on it and walk up the vertical. And he gets maybe 2 steps, and then his foot slips... and as the foot comes back, his head comes forward, and he takes 2 points of bludgeoning damage because face plants into the tree, and immediately kind of jogs back, nose kind of slightly bloodied, and goes, oh, Jin, it's the tree. Sometimes a tree. We don't listen. Listen, you saw nothing, right? And I'm gonna have him roll an intimidation check. He rolled a 5 again. So this sort of slightly with his slightly blooming nose, goes, you saw nothing, all right? And he can't quite make it stick, and sort of like sniffs, and you see his eyes are slightly watering, and he goes, can I have my things back, please?
Now, Kalnus, which one of these flowers is good for headaches?
The silver bells.
We'll get some silver bells.
You pick some silver bells in Delian.
Did any of us notice it at the back?
I was going to say, would it be possible for us to see it?
Yeah, you can all roll perception checks. I'm going to roll collectively for the Antiqua.
Literally after just being told off.
Okay, right, the Antiqua rolled a dirty 20 collectively. Everyone saw this. Radian?
Sorry, I got an 11.
An 11?
I got 11 as well.
An 11?
8.
An 8. I'm going to say the three of you from where you are can't quite see that. At this point, though, Morgan does look up and see that all the Antiqua have sort of stopped and are sort of looking at him. And he said,
I thought I heard something in the tree.
He rolls a 15, which I'm going to say, let's roll, see the insight. Yeah, that doesn't work. Some of the Antiqua are kind of kind enough, at least not to... point and laugh, and you hear a voice from the back, the voice of Gronk say, we are lucky to have you, my friend. And you start to you kind of continue your way up this mountain pass, and I'll have the two of you at the front and Morgan roll perception checks. So Endelian and Kalnus and Morgan all roll perception. I don't think Morgan's going to be much of a help because he rolled an 8. What did Endelian get?
Only a 10.
A 10?
12.
12. I'd say with a 12, you see a shape, Kalnus, not far from the pass as it winds its way round the edge of the mountain. It's a bestial shape, and it becomes apparent soon that it's a bear with brown fur and a silver streak that runs all the way down its spine from the top of its head. Roll me a nature check.
7.
7, and you have no modifiers?
That's with the modifier.
That's with your modifiers, okay. The bear doesn't look like it's imminently about to attack. Do you tell the others about the bear?
I think maybe I'd give a little nod to Endelian and point it out to her.
Endelian, you can roll a perception with advantage now because it's being pointed out, so roll twice and take the highest.
13, because I haven't got
the fire. Okay, 13. The bear doesn't look hostile. If anything, it looks kind of quizzical, if that's possible, on a bear. And it stands up on its hind legs, cocks its head to one side, observes you and Morgan and Kelniss, and then seems to look down at the Antiqua and the rest of the party, and then just slopes off. Slopes off around the shoulder of the pass and out of sight.
Quizzical bear, gone bye-bye.
Shantantanara,
I don't blame it for leaving. If I would have heard us coming, I would have left too.
So is there anything else on this kind of, this little part of the journey that people want to do, that people would like to, anything else they want, anyone they want to watch out for?
I literally just want to pick up a pebble.
Don't you dare.
Throw it at the back of the gnome's head and then just hide.
Okay.
Roll me
a ranged attack. So it's a thrown dangerous quality. Goal. So what I'd like is for
it's
you
not
to...
In any, I don't want to do any damage.
No. This is just to see whether or not it hits. Okay. So it will be your strength, not your dexterity, because this is thrown.
Yeah.
So a d20 plus your strength modifier... and I'm going to say you are proficient in throwing pebbles, so you can add your efficiency bonus.
Well, in that case, then it's a 19.
It's a 19. You pretty much bullseye the back of this gnome's head. This gnome has a big curved staff that stops just above their shoulder. It's strapped to their back, and it sort of curls in a swirling pattern. And you manage to sort of dart it through the swirl, and they have a sort of little green headband, and it just plonks off the back of their head. Roll me a stealth check.
Oh well, 20 doesn't add 20, so.
Oh, okay. You watch as this humming little gnome gets clocked to the back of the head, and sort of looks round, can't see you. Looks up to see whether it was rain, and then on it goes. Just keeps rolling along.
I am perfectly content just to have been a minor nuisance.
Minor. Has anyone seen I?
I is like breath on the wind.
Radiant just kind of has been shuffling alongside Dolly, just. He's still holding the daisy chain that Dolly gave him and just goes, I just want to say sorry for earlier. I know you were just trying to be funny with the spoons. And the,
yeah.
I overreact.
It's fine. I you know, we spent enough time together now that I get it.
I get quite stressed.
I know, but you know why I'm doing that, right?
I know, I'm
trying to bring you out of that stress.
It was a lot of spoons.
Cutlery can be scary.
I just want to say thank you for the daisy chain.
That's all right. Hold on to that.
What have you done? Given her a spoon?
I'm showing you the daisy chain.
Oh, the daisy chain.
which I then can let put on my wrist.
God, it's all about the spoons with you.
So you continue to make your way up. Barabask still, shantana ra rantana, like there's still this kind of constant soundtrack of there's a verse about the goddess's hair, there's a verse about the goddess's hand, there's a verse about the goddess's voice, there's a verse about the goddess's eyes, there's a verse about the goddess's general beauty.
Is this just head, shoulders, knees and toes?
Yeah, well, essentially it has a sort of like a Morris dancey kind of,
yeah,
that very sort of rhythmic, like
goddesses on the wall.
And as you're making your way up, you start to hear, and you start to become aware that there is a cloud line on the mountain, like a really dense cloud line, thick white cloud that doesn't allow you to see above it. Why don't you roll me perception, because you're right in the middle of everything.
Mm-hmm. 16.
You hear the human cleric, who's, again, very sort of statuesque, quite impressive human, who leans into the tiefling and says, it doesn't seem right to me. It seems that something's off, something's strange. I've never seen cloud on the mountain. Mm. But nevertheless, you continue. And you approach this cloud line. And the closer you get, the more white and the more dense it appears. Are you still in the same order, your same positioning in the group, do you think? So I, at the moment, I've got I in the middle. I've got Morgan and Delian and Kelniss at the front. I've got Dolly and Radiant kind of at the back.
Think we're maybe stay the same formation, but maybe tighten up a little
bit. Tighten, okay.
Yeah, I was having heard that.
Mm.
I'm going to progress, go back to the, like, move forward again.
Okay.
Not aware that I am a smaller creature, you know, and that my strengths aren't necessarily lying in, you know, strength.
Yeah.
I will remain just slightly behind, but I am staring forward now because I have picked up on, I've just, that overwhelming sense of something's not right.
Something's not quite right. Okay. So you've kind of all concertinaed up a little bit. And there's nothing visible above this cloud line. And the pass leads you up. And then you enter the clouds. And it's for the first time you're suddenly aware of how high up you are. It's not, you know, you should have, on an ascent of this height, have felt some change in your body's ability to breathe, or like heaviness in your legs, or maybe you wouldn't be able to walk as far, but it's been like walking on flat land. Something to do with the stones, perhaps the magic in them, the mountain pass itself, the grip it offers, but there's been no impediment, and yet suddenly your legs start to feel a little heavier. And the cloud is cold, and it's damp, and it's suddenly sharp on your skin and your scales, and that gentle warmth of the lower slopes feels like it's fading. And as you take a breath, that first breath in the cloud, there's this moment when air doesn't immediately come to your lungs, but then it does. It arrives, but it's a little thinner. It's a little harder to find that breath. It's not mechanically going to affect anything in terms of your walking speed or anything like that. And it thickens further the further in you go, and it's so dense that even let's have Endelian and Dolly make perception checks to just be able to see the people next to you.
Only 11 for me.
An 11?
Dirty 20.
A dirty 20. So you can still make out Radian, but it's like peering through murk. It kind of takes a long time to do it. And there are sounds that you can hear, like a ragged breathing, and it's hard to discern whether it's in front of you or behind you. It might be the Antiqua, but it feels odd. And Delian, you can't. You are almost walking blind at the moment in this cloud.
Is Gronoth close to me? Right,
Gronoth is close to you.
Can I sort of shout out to him? Gronoth, is this normal? What's happening here?
No, this is. This is something quite strange. Carvilius! And you hear these voices now. As those kind of more leaderly, you hear Carvilius and Runa and Barabask all starting to sort of call out to each other, making sure, can you hear me? Yes, I'm still here. You know, you can hear them slightly starting to, panic is too strong a word, but there's an awareness that something is off, something is odd. And then the cloud continues, and it's minutes of climbing through this cloud, calling out to each other, concertinaing up more. It almost feels liquid now, the cloud on you. And go ahead, Radiant.
I think we need to... Our job here.
Circle the wagons a little bit.
Yeah. Mm. I think we need to kind of like group everyone together, because this is, if it's been minutes now, this isn't passing. Mm-hmm. And if they're nervous about it. Mm-hmm. So I think I'd say, Dolly, I think we need to do something about this.
Yeah, agreed. So I'm gonna show it to these guys. I think we need to kind of form a protective circle, as it were. Has anyone seen Eye? Where's Eye?
Just hear from the mist and the cloud, you just hear, "Is here."
Morgan.
Yeah?
We have to gather everyone together. It's not safe.
Right. I'll hold the front. Those of you who can surround the Antiquan. Cleric, stay in the center.
And they start to kind of bunch together. So, where are you? It's hard to tell where you are, but where are you trying to position yourselves?
We're both kind of behind Morgan, weren't we?
Yes, yeah,
so
we'd probably.
So, if Morgan's at the very
here,
front, then yeah, you guys are kind of on the shoulders, if you like, yeah, of the group, left and right.
And we're actually using, make the suggestion that we use Barabask's singing in order to locate where.
Echolocation.
Barabas, keep singing! Keep singing! Everyone move in the direction of Barabas singing!
Who did come to the blessed land? I'm going to have Morgan and, in fact, why doesn't everyone roll perception, please? Morgan rolled pretty good, if none of you guys did.
Seven.
Dirty 20.
Five. 11 and 14. Okay, so, Dolly, you're further towards the back. You can just about see this, but certainly Morgan sees it, and definitely you see it, Kelnis. There is light through the clouds. But, like, the clouds are glowing. Gold, and then sort of watered purples and blues, greens, reds, amber, as it tries to push its way through this cloud coverage. And the longer you walk, the brighter it gets. You keep walking. Barabask still singing. Everyone's still clustering together. And then you break through the cloud cover and the world has changed. The pass has given way to a flat plateau of blackened stone and twisting, gnarled trees. And the only brightness is this storm of light in the sky. Amethysts and golds and whites and blues and greens and reds swirling and battling for the sky. And this is where we will bring in a little set piece. So let's bring the stuff in.
Oh my god.
Okay, so you come through the cloud light. And as if by magic, we have our minis here.
This is.
So you come through the cloud line. Everybody roll me perception checks in this dark, blackened plateau.
I got an at 20.
Yay!
Okay. And Delian, you
get a badge.
You hear something before you see it. It's a labored, snarling, a snapping. And
is it?
You see.
Oh no.
Wolves. Wolves that are somehow corrupted. Their flesh
look at the skull.
Eaten away, their bodies blighted somehow. I'm gonna have to come round and
oh
I'm
my
afraid.
Gosh, there's so many of them.
Two in a very inconvenient place for you all.
But oh no.
These are on a large basis, so I imagine that they are abreast on the pathway.
Okay.
And these six
blighted wolves start to lope in from all sides. Immediately, Morgan shouts, "Protect the Antiqua!" And you hear calls from the Antiqua pushing past. You hear Barabask. He stops singing. He says, "Make way! Make way!" And they climb straight up on this rocky outcrop. The four of you and Morgan wrapping yourselves around it. And I still in the centre of that throng who goes up onto the rocky outcrop with the Antiqua. Everybody roll initiative. And I will call this because it's easier. So anyone get a 20 or higher? Endelian.
Got a dirty 20.
Okay, so Endelian.
Yeah,
filthy 20. So what's your dexterity modifier?
My dexterity
Your initiative.
Yes, plus four.
And what's yours, Endelian?
My dexterity is plus two.
Okay, so we'll go I first, then Endelian.
Actually, I got a dirty 20 as well.
Wow.
So.
What's your dexterity modifier?
Plus three. So
okay, so we're going to go.
Wow. What a sandwich. Dolly sandwich.
I, then we'll go Dolly, then we'll go Endelian. 15 to 19.
I got a 15.
A 15.
Very
okay.
Dirty, very filthy, covered in mud.
Let me do that. And then we have Radian. And then Kelnis, what did you get?
Nine.
A nine. Okay, so if you let me just. If you'll please just let me write these last ones down.
Excuse
and nine
me,
for Kelnis. Then. And then little Morgan.
Okay.
Big lad. Okay. Wow. So. There's this rush as you join the Antiqua up on this high, rocky outcrop on this blackened platform. Are you act first?
No. So, with the assumption that these wolves are going to very rapidly move in and probably be within 5 feet of one of my allies.
Yeah.
Rather than waste my hide after, I would like to hide now using the people around me to immediately fire off a shot with my light crossbow.
Okay, so roll me a stealth check, please.
Yep. So that's a 16.
A 16 passes.
Okay.
So you are hidden.
Yep. So I would like to take a shot.
You have one here, which is close to Morgan and to Endelian.
Yeah.
And then two further away here, another one that's very close to Morgan and Kelnis. And then you have two all the way back there, which I'm not sure exactly on the range of it. I would suggest it's probably 30 feet to the edge there. So I would say it's probably about 70 feet. Mm-hmm. Maybe let's call it 80 feet. I know I could.
I have an 80 feet range.
Great. So you could hit those back ones as well.
So I guess it's the question of, do I want to go for one that might be, we don't know the hit points, it might be immediately about to attack Kelnis, or is it worth hitting one of these while they have got further to run? I think I am going to trust in.
I think I is going to. I, no, sorry. I'm sorry. I think I run into to. This all the time.
I think I is going to trust Kelnis and Morgan on this side and is going to make a snap decision that Radian is looking pretty. Where's Endelian?
Endelian is right back here, just behind the outcrop.
Yeah, Radian
is. She's within. She's 15 feet from Morgan.
Yeah, okay. So Radian's looking pretty bare over there. I is going to take a shot at the
this one right here. So the furthest one away to the left hand side.
Let's call him Graham.
Let's call him. Let's give them all names.
Graham.
Okay.
Graham.
So could you make an attack? And you can make that attack with advantage from hidden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's a 13 proficiency with the crossbow. So 15.
15. So you rolled a 13 on the die?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be, it would be higher than that because your proficiency bonus is plus 2, which is a 15.
Yeah.
But then you'd also add your dexterity modifier, which is a plus 3. I think you have a plus 5 to hit with your crossbow? Or is it a plus 6?
Crossbow, it is a...
Proficient, yes.
So if you go into actions, it will say...
It's here.
Oh, decent. Plus six.
Yeah. Plus six. So that wonderful. Becomes an 18.
Okay, wonderful.
Right? Is that, yep. Or does it become a...
It's correct.
Is it a 12-year-old or a 13?
I rolled a 13.
Yeah. Okay, so it becomes a 19.
Okay, great.
A 19.
Great. So it's just the plus
which
six.
Hits. So you fire a single crossbow bolt mm-hmm. into this blighted...
Yep.
This blighted wolf.
So it's obviously with stealth.
So let's do your damage on that yep. first. So that yep. I think is that 1d8?
It's 1d8 plus 4.
Plus 4.
Yeah. So that's a 5, so that's 9.
9 damage.
And then
so let me do
2d6.
Go on, I.
That's a 5. That's a 6.
Wow, okay. You thud a bolt into this creature, and it sort of snarls and snaps as it hits it in the flank. And there's a second where it looks as if it's going to kind of drop, but then the shoulder now appears to be dislocated, and yet it's still snarling and snapping. This one foreleg almost hanging loose underneath the weight of its body. That is Dolly's turn.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to also go for Graham. I think he's probably the closest to me, ish. And I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers. I'm going to be like, now's not the time. and that is a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
Not now, Graham.
that's a 13 on the die becomes a 14.
Yeah, that's a well, it succeeds.
Okay, it passes.
So that's half damage.
Okay.
So that would be 2d6, and it doesn't have to move away from me. Ooh, 10.
10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, great.
It's not looking good, but it's still looking up.
Oh, and then I'm gonna. Lean back at Dandelion and be like, this is all because you wanted a little bit more action, so you better make it good, and cast Bardic Inspiration.
So, will you explain how your Bardic Inspiration works?
Yeah, so now Bardic Inspiration means that I've just inspired you into this battle, and you can now add a d6 to attack skill check. Well, it'll probably be an attack roll, but...
Or saving throw.
Or a saving throw as well. Once the die is rolled, but before you know the outcome, so you know it's kind of like on a feel it out basis.
Mm-hmm.
You got this.
So you have Bardic Inspiration, and it is your turn, Indelian. You are back here.
Yeah. So this is Graham, right?
Graham is here.
Yeah.
Graham is
so that's it's actually kind of too far for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go for the one that's closest to me.
So you'd like to move into that one that's closest to you?
Yeah.
So that's. Peter. Very easy to do. 10 feet of movement, and you move, and you're all up in this wolf's business.
I'm all up, and so
it's Peter from Accounts.
I'm obviously going to try and hit for it with a short sword.
Okay, so make an attack.
So d20, roll of well, that's a 19 with my strength.
Amazing, right? That's super hits.
Super hits.
Super hits.
Cool. So short sword for me is d6 plus 4. It's a 6, so hit for 10.
10 damage. Okay, so this you slash again across the kind of muzzle, this leering muzzle of this wolf that's up on its hind legs, ready to sort of pounce at you, and you carve this deep gash from ear to the edge of its jawbone, and you see that the flesh sort of like opens. It's like within it you see it's festering. It's darkened. It's unnatural in some way.
And let's try and go this way.
Okay. Roll an attack with your dagger.
Let's go.
So, my d20, that's a 24.
Yeah. I mean, that also does hit me.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. my dagger is a d4 plus 5 piercing. D4 in these nails.
Cocked. That's a 4.
That is...
Wow.
4 plus 5, I hit it for 9.
9 damage. Okay.
Wow.
So this thing looks like it's been...
Peter!
It looks like it's been in a fight. As you slash with your sword, you then in the dagger, and again, it goes through like the other cheek, and you feel the flesh give way. It's almost unnaturally soft. It's like... Ooh. It's not like moving. It's like there's no muscle, no resistance. It's just something that's kind of rotting, festering from the inside. That is the wolves at the back's turn, unless there is anything else you would like to do with your turn.
No, because I only get one shot.
Yeah.
Action surging, and I'm not exactly overwhelmed at the moment, so okay. No, let's leave that.
Cool.
No, so wait, why are you stood up?
Because I'm going to move the wolves.
Can I move? Is it easier?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm going to say that they can get... Oh, God. Right, I am actually going to climb on the tower.
Woo! Yay!
This is great. Yay! This is great content.
Welcome to the Coyote Ugly.
So I'm going to say...
Don't fight the moonlight.
Imagine that those... This is just an issue with the size of the bases, but imagine if you would, that those two wolves are side by side. and that is... Oh, no, you know what? Yeah, they've got 50 feet of movement speed. Mm. They can do something far more fiendish. Sorry, Dolly.
Oh, God.
They're going to dash, and they're going to flank you.
Oh, God.
These are intelligent creatures, despite their horror.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So they are going to be within 5 feet of you.
Oh,
that
no.
is their whole
you
movement. That is their whole turn.
Not the tankiest of...
No,
okay.
That is Radiant's turn.
Watch this.
I'm thinking I can do two things here. I get rid of Graham. Graham.
Sweet Graham.
Or I feel like Dolly's about to get hit hard.
Annihilated.
I would like to cast. How close are they to Dolly? Are they like right?
They are literally in Dolly's melee. Space. They are within 5 feet of her.
And so I ask this of you.
Yes.
I ask this of you, sir. If I was to fire off, if I was to fire off web,
yes,
would that restrain their?
Here's what you can do with these. Oh. These measure radiuses, and what you can try and do is radius position radius. It in such a way where it doesn't. Affect squares, the square that Dolly is on.
Yes.
These are larger creatures, so they are taking up more spaces, which actually helps you in this case.
Okay.
What is it that you would like to do, and what is the radius of web?
Web is a 20-foot cube.
A 20-foot cube. So here's a 20-foot cube, this larger...
Mm-hmm.
So you could place it there.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that very comfortably doesn't hit Dolly.
We love to see it.
Thank you for buying this evil.
Thought it might be handy.
Oh, who knew?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to fire off a sweet, sweet web.
Okay, so what do they have to do? Read us the spell.
They must take a dexterity saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
On a failed save, it is restrained as long as it remains in the web or until it breaks free.
Okay. So, here we go. I'm going to do the one further over to this side towards Calmus's side first.
By the way, am I allowed to say, watch this now?
Oh, you're allowed to say watch this at any point.
I turn around to Dolly, and I show her my daisy chain.
Aww.
Watch this.
The first one rolls it's a dexterity saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
The first one rolls an 8, which becomes a 10, and the next one rolls a 4, which becomes a 6. What's your spell save, DC?
13.
So they both fail.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
So they are both now restrained. And that means their speed becomes 0. It can't take opportunity attacks if you leave its space. It doesn't mean that. It can't. Oh, gotcha. Its speed becomes 0. Attacks against them have advantage, so you would roll twice and take the highest. And attacks they make would have disadvantage, so they would roll twice and take the lowest. And they have disadvantage on any dexterity saving throws or spells that require dexterity saving throws. That is... Graham's turn.
Order Graham.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, hon.
He moves in to Radiant.
Graham. Yeah.
Graham, his eyes savage, his breath rank. rolls a 15.
Silvery barbs. Yes.
Ooh. Okay, so describe how silvery barbs work.
So
please.
Silvery barbs forces I'm using a momentary distraction. I'm going, Graham. No, I don't say Graham. That's not canon.
That's canon.
Okay.
Glass canon.
Graham, down boy. and that we use that disadvantage or to create disadvantage for Graham. And I'll be like, you got this, and give the advantage to Radiant on his next turn.
So Radiant gets advantage on his next turn, and Graham has to reroll his attack. Right?
Yes, that's correct. Sorry. And take the lure.
He rolled a 9, which misses. I'm assuming what's your AC?
What is my AC?
Someone top of your shoe.
13.
Okay, so you see Graham
rushes in, rears up on his hind legs, and he goes to bite you, to sink his teeth into your exposed neck, your bronzed skin with these scars that have riven across it. And at the last moment, it's almost like he twists and jerks and falls off to one side, is somehow off balance. His head snaps towards Dolly, snaps back to you. He seems confused, and that is his turn.
And he says, not today.
A beautiful I'm gonna say in that moment, with like literally Radiant turning around and going, boom, and then Dolly turning around and going, boom. That is so good.
That is this other wolf. I tell you what, both Endelian, or could he? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Gonna go for Morgan. He's gonna rush towards Morgan and attack. That is a 16 plus 5 to hit. So he sinks his teeth into Morgan for 8 damage.
Ooh.
And then you watch as the bite takes hold.
Oh no.
You see this black, almost like an ichor, this manifestation of whatever has corrupted the flesh of these creatures pours into Morgan, and you hear him like cry out in agony, and he also takes 2 points of necrotic damage.
Oh.
So he takes 10 damage total. That is Kelniss's turn.
Okay. I have a plan, if I'm allowed to do it.
Please, I love can plans.
I can move and I can attack, and yes. Can I do a bonus action as well?
Yes, as long as that bonus action is something that requires a bonus action. So, for example, certain spells only take a bonus action. So I'd have to know what it was you wanted to do in the entire turn.
Okay, what I want to do... Where does it tell you if a spell can be a bonus action?
Tell me what you want to try and
cast. Barkskin.
You want to cast Barkskin?
Yeah, but not on me.
Okay. And what else do you want to do in the turn?
I want to move to Dolly.
Yeah.
Barkskin is touch.
Yep.
So I want to cast Barkskin on Dolly.
Yes.
And then I want to call my Wildfire Spirit.
Okay, so read me out your Wildfire Spirit, what it says about how to summon your Wildfire Spirit. So Wildfire Spirit is part of your...
it's a bonus
your
action.
Wild shape. It's a bonus action, so perfect. You can absolutely do that. So are you okay for me to move you? Your mini, obviously, rather than you.
Mm-hmm. I am moved.
You'd like to... I've moved you since the very beginning. Kelniss moves over here, touches Dolly and casts Barkskin on her.
Yes.
Can you describe what it... Can you read what it says on the card?
What it means is that Dolly's AC can't be less than 16.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Really? One action. You touch a willing creature. It lasts up to 1 hour. Now, it has... It requires concentration, and concentration basically means that you can't cast any other spells that require concentration, and if you take damage, you have to roll a special Lil saving throw to make sure that spell doesn't drop. So you are over here, Kel, and you are concentrating.
Yes, we've got props.
We've got props. Marvellous.
Thanks, Kel.
And then, as a bonus action, you'd like to summon your Wildfire Spirit.
Yes, I'm just checking to make sure it doesn't require concentration.
I don't believe it will if it's a wild shape.
It does.
It's wild shape is a kind of... It's a very...
I don't think it takes a wild shape slot either.
No,
it doesn't
it
say it.
It's a certain...
As
a,
an action, you...
Being.
Ah, okay. Starting at second level, you consume a primal spirit bound to your soul as an action... You can expend one use of your wild shape feature. So it's not a bonus action, I'm afraid. It is an action.
Oh, it's under bonus actions in my thing.
Okay, I'm not sure what to tell you.
Okay, I'll do something else then. Can I do something else?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I will cast as a cantrip, and I can cast this as well, cast Shillelagh on my staff.
Can you do a bonus action cantrip? Yeah, I think you can. Okay, cool. You cast Shillelagh on your staff.
describe what that does for the folks at home.
For the folks at home, shillelagh. You can only cast it on a wooden weapon.
Mm-hmm.
The wood of a club or quarterstaff you are holding is imbued with nature's power. The duration, you can use your spellcasting ability instead of strength for the attack and damage rolls of melee attacks using that weapon, and the weapon's damage die becomes a d8. The weapon also becomes magical if it isn't already. The spell ends if you cast it again or if you let go of the weapon.
Brilliant. And it's not a concentration spell. It doesn't say concentration.
It's not concentration.
Fantastic. So... that is your turn, which brings us round to these wolves over here.
Okay.
One of which is going to attack Indelion because you have really frustrated it so far. You've made its day worse. That is an 18 on the die. A 13 on the die with a +5 becomes an 18 to hit.
Oof. I've got armor class 14, okay.
So it bites into you for 7 damage.
Cool.
And you see that it, just as you saw on Morgan, this black, viscous ichor comes out of it for another 4 damage.
Okay.
So that's 11 damage total. Then this other wolf is going to come in and attack Morgan, and using... and something they have called pack tactics, they're going to get advantage on that roll because they have an ally within 5 feet. So they're going to roll twice to take the highest. That's a 14 to hit, which doesn't hit. That's an 18, which just hits. Morgan is kind of blindsided by this wolf. He's just dealing with the one that's done that damage to him. And they're attacking on his shield side, but he can't quite get the shield round in time. And I'm rolling so well on this damage. That's another 8 damage to Morgan from the bite. And I haven't rolled lower than a 5 on a d6 in all of these attacks.
Great.
So that is another 13 damage to Morgan.
How's he looking?
Morgan is looking pretty bad. Okay. Really quite bad. Okay. You see that there's a second as this other wolf bites into him, avoiding the shield and the spikes on his shoulders, that his strength seems to leave him for a moment. That is his turn, and he is going to... bonus action, second wind. He is a multi-class paladin.
Come on.
One level of fighter.
Let's go.
So... he's going to use his second wind as a bonus action to get 1d10 plus 1. And he rolled a 9, so he gets 10 HP back. So he's now looking a little bit more healthy. And he is going to... he is going to attack with his longsword, the one that just did the damage to him. He rolls a nat 1. So,
good God, Morgan.
It's good God, Morgan, you fraud.
Mate, between this and the tree, I'm pretty sure he can't do anything at this point.
He has this this moment when you see kind of life flood back into him, and he's already started that swing with his longsword towards this wolf, and it's almost like the new kind of vigor that runs through his body causes him to overshoot. He sort of swings round, clatters his longsword into the rock. He could try and leave. He'd take 2 opportunity attacks and he'd leave Indelion, and I don't think he'd do that. So he's going to stay there and he's going to fight. That is back round. Well, at the end of this, the Antiqua have seen what's happening, and you're aware of like arguments breaking out among the Antiqua on that rocky outcrop, and Grawnoth is turning up to those around him and going, we have to do something, and you hear Barabask's voice saying that this is the task that they were set. Grawnoth says, their task was not to die on the slopes of the mountain. And this argument is continuing as we get to initiative 20 at the top of the next round. And the wolves are going to attempt to do something. I'm going to have them roll a luck check, essentially. They all kind of lean back and give this
guttural howl. Okay. If they roll over a 10, they rolled a 7. Okay, so their damage die changes if that howl is successful. It goes up. That does not happen on this round. So it, we are back round to I. Yep. You are no longer hidden. You are within the melee. Yep.
Two questions for you. One, if I were to drop off that highest point down, any fall damage from that height?
I think I would say it's probably, looking at it, if Morgan is maybe 6.5 foot tall, I would say it's probably 10 feet. And I think that would be 1d6, but I will just make sure. Yeah, 1d6 bludgeoning damage per 10 feet fallen.
Okay.
Graham's looking good.
If I were to
wait, that's not how initiative works, darling.
If I were to come forward to attack in melee, one of these webbed wolves, getting that close, do I become webbed, or am I able to remain out of?
No, I don't believe web continues to ensnare after it's been cast.
Okay, so in that case, I would like to rush forward.
Mm-hmm.
And as I rush forward, I say to Gronoff, I run past and I say, "Do something, do nothing. It does not matter to I."
Don't challenge him to do nothing.
and I change to my. I whip up my two daggers, which are finesse, which means, as they're within 5 feet, not only do I get sneak attack because they're within 5 feet, but also I have a bonus action with this finesse weapon, which is two weapon fighting, which would be another attack with my dagger.
Are you happy to move to this one that I've put you towards, the one closest to you?
Yes.
Right, okay. So you have advantage on the roll anyway because those creatures are restrained. So
okay. So that's, 19. Okay, so it's a 25.
Brilliant. So then let's roll, if you'd like to bonus action, let's roll both of those attacks with advantage for your two daggers.
Okay.
Yeah?
Daggers are...
So did you take a two-weapon fighting style?
Yeah, I've got it as my bonus action.
Okay, so I think you will not add your proficiency bonus to this second one. That's what I believe two-weapon fighting.
Two-weapon fighting is no proficiency bonus on the second action. Yes,
So you now roll twice and add just your dexterity modifier, not your proficiency bonus. So normally you'd add plus six
to
roll.
So plus four.
Plus four. Yeah. So roll with advantage. Two. No, so roll
with advantage. So
let's just do both the attacks.
Yeah. So five plus four. So we've got a nine.
Nine.
And then a 20, dirty.
A dirty 20, okay. So you hit twice.
Yep.
One of which you... in fact, they're both the same, aren't they, at this point?
Yeah.
One plus four.
Plus four, yeah, so five. Yeah. Two.
Okay.
Yep.
So six. So 11 damage.
Yep. And then sneak attack.
Sneak attack, maybe.
Go on.
Yep.
Go on. Go on.
Yes, come on.
Two. Six.
Okay. So that was that a two and a six, or a cumulative two and then a six?
Oh, sorry, it was eight. It was a cumulative eight.
Okay, so eight. So that's 19 damage.
Nice.
Which does some serious damage to this one that's closest to you that is restrained.
Mm-hmm.
That is Dolly's turn.
Dolly's gonna... She's almost finding this funny, how quickly the tables have turned. She's seeing Kalanis has helped her out a little bit, so she's feeling a little bit more confident. She sees I running in. She's gonna draw herself up to her full height, put her hands out like this and go, "Down, boys!" But you almost don't hear the clap straight away. It's like, it's almost silent, and it just ripples out towards them, and she's casting Shatter on both of those wolves in front of her, which is a saving throw for them.
Mm-hmm.
That is a...
Constitution.
Yeah, it's Constitution.
Okay. So the first one rolls a 10, which becomes a 12.
But don't they have disadvantage?
They have disadvantage on dexterity saving throws.
Oh, so it's a 13 they need to be.
Okay, so the first one doesn't get it. The next one rolls an 11, which becomes a 13. Okay, so one passes, one fails.
Okay, so it is, it's 3d8 on a fail or half as much on a success.
Okay, so roll your 3d8 and then we'll halve it for...
okay,
and I'm going to say that the one that failed is the one that I has already done damage to.
Thanks.
You got this.
Yes. That is 11.
11 damage.
Yeah.
So 11 damage to this one and then 5 damage to the other. Okay, so that one is really quite hurt. That one is looking pretty much okay. And Delian.
How long does Bardic Inspo last?
You have it until you use it.
I'm going to use it on this one only because I...
See how you go first, because you might not need it.
Okay.
What it can't do is it can't get you a nat 20, so... And you can only use it on the d20 roll.
Yeah, so I'm...
So, but see, what you can do is, you declare that you want to use it,
it's kind of
roll
like,
and see if you think you're going to hit.
Yeah.
It's like I'll talk you through it.
If you roll a 12 and you think, like, oh, well, if I got another 5, then yeah, happy days.
Okay. Okay, well, I rolled a 7.
7 plus?
4, so I rolled an 11.
Okay. Do you want to add it?
Yes.
Okay. So you now roll a d6 and add that to the roll.
Okay. Which is a 5.
Which becomes a 16, which does hit.
Yeah.
Yes!
Good news.
Had a couple of 20s in a row and I was like, okay, right. So it's short sword. I want to take the one in front of me down because I need to get round to Morgan.
Yeah, yeah.
So short sword for me is a d6 plus 4, so it hits for 8.
It hits for 8 damage. Okay. You have a bonus action attack if you want to take it.
So that didn't do enough. So I'm going to hit with my dagger as well then.
Yeah.
So that's 19.
Hits.
So then that's a d4 plus 5.
Oh. Unless it was a 4, it doesn't count.
And it was a 1, so it's a 6. It hits a 6.
It's really badly hurt. It's badly, badly hurt. This time as you stab into it, you stab right into the roof of its mouth, and you hear like a whelp, like a kind of a more... You're hearing a more animal sound. You're hearing a less necrotic, aberration-y sound. You're starting to hear more of the animal beneath it.
Okay, then I'm going to action surge, because I want this thing down.
Yes. Yeah.
So...
That is a d12.
Oh, a d12.
So, no, you were rolling the wrong die, so you're unlikely to hit. So roll a d20.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's okay. That's totally okay. They look very similar.
They do look very similar. Okay, so that's a 9 plus 4, so that for me would be a 13.
Yeah, that hits just.
Thank God. Okay, right, so that'll be a d6 plus 4, which it hits for a 9.
Okay. Destroy it.
Yes! It is. Have you ever filled a balloon with paint? It is like I have taken my sword through this thing's stomach, and it is just that black liquid just comes straight on out.
Yeah.
It's all over my boots. It's all up my legs. But my God, that thing is on the floor.
Yeah. Like those omelets that you just...
Yeah, it's omu rice. It is pitchy omu rice. It is done.
So what? So this. We wave goodbye to the wolves. I see we've stopped giving them cute names these days.
That was Peter.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, sorry, we haven't named the
ones yet.
So what you can do is you still have movement and a bonus action. So you can still move and attack another wolf.
I'm going to swing around to the one that's closest to me that's on Morgan. Yeah. And I'm going to try and just whack my dagger into that one that's behind
me. Okay, so make an attack roll against.
So that is a 15.
A 15 hits. Yeah.
So my dagger is a d4...
Plus 5.
Plus 5. I have 6, 7.
7 damage. 7. Okay.
I can still take a bonus action, can't I?
I thought the bonus action was your second... Bonus action is action surge,
so
right?
Action surge for me is under special.
Okay, let me just see if it's a bonus action or if it's just
she
an ability.
She has two weapon fighting, doesn't she?
Yes, but that's not...
Yeah,
That's not necessarily relevant to this particular moment.
Oh.
You have a... So is your action split as a... Let me just read this. Your second attack is your bonus action.
Fine.
As I understand it. So you've taken an action to attack,
bonus
action to attack, you've used second wind, you've taken an action to attack, movement, and then a bonus to attack. Bonus action to attack. So that is everything.
Then I'm done.
Stop! It's already
Stop.
Dead.
I was going to try and second wind because I took a pretty mean hit earlier.
Ah, yes, of course.
So I was actually going to try and
save yourself.
I was actually going to try and save myself. But yeah.
Okay. So that is these wolves at the back. The first one is going to snap at. Let's snap at eye. Eyes come over and. Stuck a thingy into him. He has a disadvantage, so
He rolled a 10, which becomes a 15, and a 15, which becomes a 20. So 10 becomes 15.
I have an AC of 15.
You have an AC of 15, okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Of these walls here, sorry to keep bringing up Web. It says at the beginning of each turn it has to take a dex saving throw.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Oh, sorry. Each creature that's in the Web at the beginning has to take a dexterity saving throw.
At the beginning of their turn? Or
each creature that starts its turn in the Webs or that enters them during its turn must take a dex saving throw. On a failed save, the creature is restrained as long as it remains in the Web or until it breaks free. So my interpretation of that...
So it's already in the Web?
Yes, but at the beginning of each turn, it will then have to continue taking that dexterity saving throw.
Okay, so...
Am I...
I think it's less advantageous to you, your version, than
is
my
it?
Ruling. Yeah, because I was just saying there were still restraints.
Okay, trying to break free.
But I guess it can try... Let's say it's rather than doing that. That's fair enough. We'll retcon that. And so that 15...
Apologies.
No.
I don't make it worse.
So how does it mechanically break free?
So I imagine that what it's doing, it's...
Does it say on the card how it can try to break free? Or does it just say it uses its action to break free?
No, it just says each creature that starts its turn in the webs or that enters them during its turn must make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. So I'm going to say it has to beat your spell save in order to break free.
Yeah.
And it's used its action, and it's rolled a 15 to do that.
Yeah.
Actually, its strength save... Yeah, its strength save is... Would be a... Actually, no, it would be a 13, because it doesn't have proficiency in strength saving throws.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 13 to attempt to break free of...
Yeah, my spell save DC is 13.
Okay, so it's used its action, but it's now free of restraint. That's its turn.
Why have you done this?
They're going to be dead next.
The next one is going to do the same thing.
And
rolls a 6, which becomes a 9. So that remains restrained. And that is its turn.
Okay.
It seems odd to me that it... points out that it attacks with disadvantage, and yet there seems to be no mechanic for it to attack without re-rolling a saving throw.
But we'll
move on with that as we are for now.
To bring it up, is it that, sorry to investigate it, but would it be that they do that and then they're able to do their turn afterwards? So they do the saving, I assume that it would be they do the saving throw, and then if they're able to be free of that, then they can take their turn. If not, then they're restrained.
Okay, sure. So in that case, we'll say it takes an attack.
Am I being crazy?
I don't think you're being crazy. I think it's totally fine. You're making it harder
Why
for
are you.
You
doing
I'm ruling in a slightly more lenient way for the party.
Sorry.
But that's fine. So in that case it's gonna take an attack at you, and it's gonna do so with advantage because it has an ally within 5 feet.
Even though
the ally is not incapacitated. So that's a dirty 20.
Well, great. Cool.
That is... it rolled a 1 on the damage. So that's a 3 piercing damage and 2 necrotic damage. And that is its turn. And then the second one will attack Dolly, this time with disadvantage. It rolled a 13, which becomes an 18, and a 15, which becomes a dirty 20.
Hellish rebuke.
Okay, how does that work?
So the creature that damaged me is momentarily surrounded by flames. The creature must make a dex saving throw, and it's 2d10 fire damage on a failed or half as much on a successful.
Sure, so I need to roll its damage first.
Yeah.
Which is 4 piercing and 5 necrotic, so 9 damage total.
Oh, God.
And now it has to roll a dex save or take 2d10, did you
That's
say?
That's right.
Its dex save is an 11.
It's a fail.
Okay.
I love your chocolate box.
Yeah,
it's like a tin of quality streets.
You know what it reminds me of? The Trunchbull's sweets.
Yes.
Tin of chocolates and Matilda's.
It just makes things really hard to find.
I gave you a wrong number earlier. It's 24 hit points for me, not 22.
Okay.
So I'm down to 19 now.
Okay. I apologise that I've made everything harder for everyone, but also, isn't it fun?
It is, yeah.
It is for everyone.
Loving life.
So that
or the lack thereof.
Seventeen damage. Well, okay, that's quite a lot of damage.
Yeah.
It's still up, but it's looked better.
Sorry.
Radian, that is your turn.
Because of my proximity, because of the proximity that I am to that wolf there.
Graham.
Yep.
Sorry, to Graham. Graham.
Graham.
Would my spells take do less damage?
So when you aim a ranged attack at an opponent that is within 5 feet of you, mm-hmm. you have disadvantage on that attack roll. So you would have disadvantage on a spell attack. But if you wanted to cast, for example, Chromatic Orb, which requires you to roll, you'd have disadvantage. If you wanted to roll something which would make it do a saving throw, it's unaffected. And you can also turn around and attack any of the others without... without taking movement, provoking opportunity attack, or having disadvantage on that roll.
Okay. I'm going to cast Magic Missile at level 2.
Okay.
Which means I create four glowing darts of magical force. Each dart hits a creature of my choice that I can see within range. A dart deals 1d4 plus 1 force damage to its target.
Okay.
The darts all strike simultaneously, and you can direct them to hit one creature or several.
Okay. So...
Can I choose... Can I roll... Can I... Do I choose who I want to hit first and then roll it?
You don't need... Yeah, you don't need to roll any... You don't need to roll an attack, so you just tell me which creatures these four darts affect.
Whether you stack it all or go for
whether you stack or whether you
I'm a bit like Graham's been around for too long and he sees
like, these things are damage sponges.
He's loitering over me like that's crazy. And I feel like you guys can get rid of those. There, you've got three on. You're fine.
Maybe.
Okay.
There are three of us.
Yeah, we're fine.
Well, maybe, you know, then I'm thinking you've taken your turn, haven't you? You've taken your turn, you've taken your turn.
I got back there. I got two
of they.
So you've got two and you've got Morgan.
So, no, I haven't got Morgan. I've got a Boy Scout with a bad arm.
Okay, I'm going to attack Graham. Okay. I'm going to attack Graham and I'm just going to pummel Graham.
With all four.
How much damage did Graham take?
I bet initially.
Graham took some damage.
Yeah,
Graham is a long way from full health. I'll tell you what, roll an insight check.
It was the first attack, wasn't it? I got
a
sneak attack, pretty hefty one.
It'll be a 13.
Okay, Graham is close to death.
Okay, I'm going to put...
Graham is close to death.
Graham's close to death, great. I just doubled my Graham to hit me.
Sorry,
I'm going to put two into Graham.
Okay.
And then I'm going to put the other two into the really super weakened one.
So you're going to put two into Graham and two into the weaker one around the front here.
Yeah.
Okay. So roll one. So let's roll them for Graham first. So it's 1d4 plus one.
Graham, I wish you dead. That's 3 plus, that's 4.
Okay.
I'm 4 again.
Okay. Destroy him.
Yes!
Yay!
So Graham's been snarling at me for a while, and he's just thrashing around. And basically, what happens is Radian holds out his hands like this, and from his wrists, he just flicks them like that, and these two darts just go straight into this wolf's eyes, and the eyes just burst like that, and his skull just breaks apart. And like a bit earlier, these things are just full of pus and blood, and it just spatters all over his face. And then he immediately turns around and does exactly the same thing and decides to fire on the next target.
Okay.
That's a 2.
Mm-hmm.
And a 5.
Okay, so it becomes a 7.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy it.
Yes!
Hey. And immediately turns around and does exactly the same thing. And it hits them directly between the eyes like that. And the head explodes in the same way that it did before, this time all over Dolly.
Ugh. Watch this.
He kind of like, he looks at her because like with like the daisy chain exposed. The daisy chain exposed and just kind of mouths, thank you.
Thanks, I guess.
It's such a beautiful moment.
I like the idea that in this moment, Dolly's taken all of it because she's right in front of Kelniss. So Kelniss is like totally free because Dolly's taking it. And then the rest of it has just entirely gone over eyes. All the blood has just gone over eyes head because he's so small. Dolly, meanwhile.
Okay.
Oh, it stinks.
That makes it. Oh, the wolf. This wolf's turn. And I'm afraid there's nothing for it, but chowing down on Morgan some more because that gets advantage on the roll. Rolled a nat 1, but rolled with advantage. It has a plus 5 to hit. Morgan's AC is 18. Rolled a 17 on the die.
Oh, no.
Morgan.
Rolls a 5 plus 2 piercing and 1 necrotic. So that's 8 damage.
He had at least 10 HP because he healed from
10. Yeah. Mm.
But Morgan is the other one. Very, very hurt.
Yeah, we've got the name.
And that is Kelnis's turn.
Okay, what's the little ring around my character?
You are concentrating, so you cannot cast another spell that says concentration on it. And if you take damage, you have to roll a saving throw to maintain concentration on that spell.
Okay, can I break away from this little formation without inciting an attack of opportunity?
Are you in its space? I would say you're not within its space. So actually, yes, you can. You can move freely.
It's okay. It's also restrained, isn't it?
Yes, but that doesn't mean it can't take opportunity attacks.
Mm-hmm. You're a bit like, what is this weapon for?
Well, it made a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay. I think then... I had a plan in mind, and that's changed. I just had that idea, and I just completely changed my idea.
Can I just say as well, I've just noticed that the terrain below the cloud cover is all lush. Yeah. And then as soon as it passes through, such a good detail.
So good.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's phenomenal.
So good.
He's amazing.
Absolutely stellar.
Okay, what I think I'm going to do then is I'm just going to break away about, 10 feet.
Okay. 10 feet in which direction?
Towards Morgan.
Get off, I.
Because I can kind of see that these three have this one wolf in front of them.
Yeah.
They can probably handle it. So I've been hearing Morgan go...
Yeah, you can hear that Morgan is royally...
So I turn around, I take a few steps, and I cast Scorching Ray at the wolf I can see in front of Morgan.
Okay, so this one on the extreme side here. Yes. Okay.
Looks like a straight line.
Yeah, absolutely. So how does Scorching Ray work, please, Doug?
Okay. It doesn't require concentration.
Great.
You create 3 rays of fire and hurl them at targets within range. You can hurl them at one target or several. Make a ranged spell attack for each ray. On a hit, the target takes 2d6 fire damage.
Okay, so do you want to roll... Do you want to attack the set one with all three, or do you want to split them?
Hang on. When you cast a spell using a spell... Oh, never mind. Okay. Sorry.
Would you like to attack just that one with the three, or would you like to split them much in the way that Radiant did?
Can I split it?
Yes, absolutely you may. You can. You can see both. You've got line of sight to both. Okay, and also, you asked to move 10 feet. You got 30 feet of movement. If it requires you to move one thing...
Would the ray pass through the wolf into Indelian, though?
No.
No.
I don't believe so. It's a single target. Yeah. Fine. Area of effect.
Yeah.
You've just grown your eyebrows.
My eyes have just come back. Please, the fire with this group.
So, you'd like to do how many at which wolf?
I'd like to do 2 at the wolf in front of Morgan and 1 at the one in front of Indel.
Okay, so roll the 2 at the Morgan wolf first, please. Just roll them one after the other and then we can do the damage in a moment.
It's called the Nancy and Patricia. Okay.
Nancy and Patricia.
Let's. We must.
If we simply must be Nancy and Patricia.
Come on, Patty. Yeah.
And then who is this, Nigel, in front of us?
That's Nigel.
Okay. That's Nigel, yes. Yeah. So we've got Nancy, Patricia,
that's so
and Nigel.
Nige.
Alrighty. 17 plus 6, okay. That's got to be a hit.
Very much hits.
So that's one hit on that one.
Stats are just...
And a 9 plus 6, it's 15.
Hits.
So 2 hits. Shall I roll damage for that one?
Let's do 4d6 for that one. Would you like some extra d6s?
I've got 2.
Oh, you've got 2.
I'll just...
It's okay, you can roll them twice.
I'll roll them twice.
Moves ever closer.
Cameron, put your hand in.
So 3 damage for one ray. And 6 for the other.
Okay, so 9 damage total. Okay. Still up.
Okay.
And then one the for this ray. One near Indelian.
7 plus 6, 13.
Just hit. They've got the flesh is hanging off them. They're not hard to hit.
That's five damage.
5 damage. Okay. That one still looks pretty good.
Quite nervous.
It's the one over here. And it's gonna do what it needs to do, which is attack Morgan with advantage due to pack tactics. It rolled a 19 on its first roll. So I'm going to see if it crits. It doesn't. That is 5 piercing damage.
Oh my god.
And 3 necrotic damage. You see Morgan drop.
Okay, it's fine.
And
I mean,
you hear the Antiqua suddenly up in arms. Grawnoth, at this point, just shouts, "This is madness!" And he is... I'm going to roll initiative for him and see if he rolls higher than the current... he rolled a nat 20. I'm going to bring Grawnoth in. Yes. I'm going to let him take an action now. Let me have a quick look at what he has. He is going to cast a mass healing word.
Oh, hello.
Oh.
It's a third level spell. It can pick 6 creatures of his choice that he can see within range to regain 1d4 plus 5. He picks all of you and Morgan. And he puts his hand out. And you see this mote of divine light. And then sucked back into his hand. And the spell fails. And nothing happens. And the Antiqua at this point are panicking. They all start trying to cast mass healing word. Every single one of them. Mass healing word, mass healing word. Motes of light suck back into the hand. Suck back into the hand. Into the hand. There seems to be something preventing this magic from taking effect. But what Grawnoth is going to do is Grawnoth is going to jump down off there, and he is going to use all of his movement to put himself in harm's way and get over towards the body of Morgan. That is Morgan's turn. Morgan is going to roll a death saving throw.
Not a nat one.
Morgan rolls a 4. That's 1 fail. At 3 fails, Morgan is dead. Morgan is gone forever.
Yeah.
That is initiative 20. The wolves are going to try and increase their damage die, and they rolled a 9. It's a 10 and a half out. They would have got it.
What are you annoyed for? Don't you know
whose side are you on?
Side of the story. The Antiqua now are really panicking. I'm going to just roll for one more member of them. I'm going to Carvilius rolls a 7, so Carvilius will come in on initiative 7, which is here. And I'm going to roll for Runa as well, because she's...
Yes, Runa. Yes, Runa. Come on, Runa. Yes.
Runa rolls a 14, so Runa's going to come in there.
And
as I see Runa, obviously clearly go, right, Squirtle, I'm coming in, I just want to look over at her and go...
you see in this moment, like, all of that, any level of, like... You see this warrior, you know, all that clumsiness, that insecurity that happened when she was trying to read, that's all gone. Yep. She's got her bloodlust up now. Yep. That is Eye's turn.
Yeah, okay, so we were saying, we obviously had a discussion about reloading bolts, saying it's a free action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if I have, I'm using a free action to change weapon, then it means that the bolt has to be a bonus action load, or...
Mate, it's cool.
It's
okay, cool.
Do something awesome.
If you can do a Legolas style flick into the thing and swing that thing up with one in the chamber already, I'm happy for you.
Great. I trust right now that between Dolly and Radian, this dude has already taken damage. So what?
Dolly's like,
but I'm assuming like, yeah, you'll both get him, not sure, yeah, before attacking.
We'll get him.
I would like to.
Yeah.
Move back to here.
Yep.
And
feel free if you can reach your little boy. He's a sweet boy.
To here.
Sweet boy.
And
good boy, good boy.
What I would like to do is take a shot with my crossbow at The one on the furthest edge.
Yeah, the one on that far right hand side.
Here.
Patty.
Patty, of course. Patty.
Patricia.
So that's an 11, but plus 6. So that's 17.
Yes.
So it hits. So 1d8 plus 4 is... That's a 5, so that's a 9.
Mm-hmm.
2d6 for my sneakiness. That's a 5. Goes up to an 11.
Okay. So 11 damage total.
From the sneak attack,
from the sneak attack plus your 9.
Yeah.
So 20 damage.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes!
Go on.
Yeah?
Yeah, destroy it.
So I runs, like, kind of behind this little mound thing and just using it steadies himself, takes aim, and there is just that, it's that perfect moment. Again, the bolt just leaves silently, just whips through the air, and it goes right over the Dwarven Cleric's shoulder, mm-hmm, perfectly right, over.
Gronoth's shoulder.
And Gronoth just sees, straight in, basically, the head just like this.
Yeah.
Eyeball, just straight through, one eyeball, other eyeball,
nothing
perfectly.
Cooler than an eyeball.
Like a little kebab of, of eyeballs, straight on through as this thing... Jaw down here, just kind of stops her ears and just, boom, slumps.
Slumps forward.
And I would like to use my bonus action to hide.
Spell check. I don't want anyone to know.
I'm done. Yes.
I'm appalled. Genuinely embarrassed.
Sorry, Patty.
That is a 19.
19 passes. You are gone. You out of there, baby. That is Dolly's turn.
Can I see, can I see Morgan from where I am?
No, I don't think you can.
Mm.
No, you can't.
Dang it.
Should I remove
He needs
board?
Help. I need to, I,
no,
I'm going
down.
To.
No, he's down. He's not. Oh, sorry. No. You're so
yeah,
loud.
Yeah, yeah.
I do apologize.
But as in, I can, if I can cast Healing Word on him, that's what I'm trying to do.
Can you read me the language of Healing Word?
So yeah, it's a bonus action. A creature of my choice that I can see within range.
You
regains,
can't see him. I'm afraid.
Yeah, but can I move to see him?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You can. You'll take an opportunity attack.
I know, but I think I need to because no one else can do it right now.
Okay.
So
you want to move?
I want to move just so I can see him.
Okay, which I think is probably like 1, 2, 3, maybe here.
Okay.
Then you can see him. Yep. I mean, I'm going to say you can see through Cal. In fact, you can probably do it from there.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe there. So I'm just going to do an attack of opportunity on you as you leave. It will be a bite attack. That is a natural 4 becomes a 9.
Misses.
Okay. Ooh. So.
Okay. So yeah, he's going to regain hit points equal to 1d4 plus my spellcasting ability modifier.
Very good.
So I think you roll that. Is it?
I roll that.
Is it? No.
No, it'd be you. 1d4 plus. Yeah, definitely you.
Okay. All right, fine. Where's my
spell? Oh, I mean, I can do it.
Why, yeah, why, if you want to.
I'm here.
Sure.
I might as well do something.
My modifier is plus 3.
That's 5. He gets 5 HP back.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, he loves that.
Yeah, loves it. Love that for him.
You hear him, like, kind of gasping for breath as he comes back up.
You all right?
Yeah.
Nice. No, that's a bonus action.
Yes.
No, as I understand it, you usually can't cast 2 spells in one turn, but if one of them is a cantrip,
yes,
then I would like to cast Vicious Mockery.
Yep.
At the wolf that I just left, the one that just tried to take a bite at me.
Mm-hmm.
My Vicious Mockery is it's a wisdom saving throw for that.
That is a nat 1.
So yeah, it's not tons of damage, but it's 1d4 psychic damage, and it has disadvantage on its next attack roll.
Fantastic.
That's cool. Before the end of its turn, so I'm just going to go, it's time we put you down. That's a 1, but you know, it was really cool.
It's a thought that counts.
Yeah.
That is Endelian's turn.
I'm furious. We had one job, which was to protect the clerics. Morgan went down and caused such a commotion between us. The clerics have got off the damn rock. Like,
we look silly.
We look ridiculous.
I think I've looked really cool.
Certainly something to watch.
I'm going to do what I do best. So, there should be... I can't see because it's behind the rock, but there should be one up, right?
Yeah, there is.
Next
there's
to
one
me.
Up.
Right, I'm
to
just...
Yeah.
This one, I'm just... I'm swinging my short sword at it.
Yep.
So that is a dirty 20.
Dirty 20 hits.
So that's a d6 plus 4. It hits for 6.
Great.
And then I'm going to dagger it as well. That is 19.
Yep, hits.
Which is a d4 plus 5.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 5, 6, 7, 8. So that hits for 8.
Okay. He's fine.
Oh, good God. Can I bonus action at this point?
Yes, you can.
Right, I'm going to cast a second wind on myself.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think you can. I'm going to say you can, and I'll have a look into it in between this
action. All it says for me is once per short, you can bonus action to regain 1d10 plus 3.
Great.
So,
you. D10 that like a spinning top.
Yep. that is 8 plus 3, so I regain 12.
You regain 11.
11, sorry.
It's all right.
Yep.
Regain 30.
So I'm on 23 right now.
Okay. Radiant, that's your turn.
Radiant looks towards this little boy.
Yep.
And he goes, it's just me and you. And he casts.
Watch this.
Hey, watching.
Are you going to show your daisy chain first?
Yeah.
See this?
This is for my best girl.
it's not Patty.
I fire chromatic orb.
Yes.
Yep. Sure you do.
We'll find out. It's 15.
15 hits. And you're doing this at first level?
First level, yep. No, two second levels left. So that's 3d8.
Yep.
It's a 2. A 6. And a 2.
A 2, a 6, and a 2 is 10. It's just about still. You see the... What energy did you put into it?
Fire.
Fire. You see this fire thuds into it and it starts to sort of lick across the fur, singeing.
Is it still in the web? Because doesn't that do extra if it's...
Oh.
It broke free of the web,
it did.
I believe.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's still in the area of the web, but it's not restrained by it. You see it kind of lick across the flesh and fur of this creature, and its eyes momentarily close, and then they snap open, still kind of bright.
Sponges.
They are sponges. Okay. That is this wolf's turn. It's just seen Morgan go down. It's gonna go for him again. It rolls a 24. I mean, it's like it's at this point, it's kind of in it's in this kind of blood frenzy. It's seen its prey. It's decided who its quarry is.
At least it's not me.
That's far. Okay, he's down. He's down again. That's fine. Even without the necrotic, you see Morgan drop again.
I have one more spell slot left.
That is Kelniss's turn.
Okay. I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on Morgan.
You have to do that by touch, I believe.
Oh, by touch.
Which is fine. You can get
That's
over
fine.
There.
That's
fine. Rest there.
Can do that. Yeah, so I'll cross over to Morgan, and I'll cast Cure Wounds on him, and it's 1d8 plus 4.
Come on.
Okay.
You can do this.
No concentration, so you're fine.
Where's my d8?
1d8 plus 4.
Oh, there it is.
I'm going to say Gronov moves out of the way to allow you to get in. Oh, Gronov actually should have taken a turn, so Gronov will act just after you.
5. Nine.
Nine.
Nice.
Okay.
Well done.
Morgan again. Morgan is really going through it at the moment.
Oh, God.
He's going to have a hell of a headache.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so...
good thing you got those flowers.
At this point, Gronov is all in, and just he has this sort of mace, this sort of round headed mace that he's just going to slam into this creature. It's a 22 to hit. He's swinging it two handed, so he'll roll a d10.
Steal your kill.
Pardon? Yeah, he's going to steal your kill.
Yeah,
exactly. That's all I
like
want.
It's like I've been feeding a slot goes. Machine in Vegas, so like I just stepped away.
Yeah, that is. That is 9 damage. This thing's looking hurt. Yeah, it's still up. You didn't attack it for a a really long time. Didn't attack it until your bonus action after
until
the first one. And then Morgan's been caught between a rock and a hard place. Runa's turn.
Go on, Runa.
Go on, Runa. Runa's going to go down there and take a swing. And again, she just muscles bulging in her arms is going to take a hit. She rolls an at one. She rolls an at one.
No.
She's very emotional. It's been an emotional day.
I did get that vibe from her.
Public speaking, yeah. Can mess with your
it's
head.
It's a tough day.
You know, yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
And then Carvilius is also going to run it. Right, Carvilius does hit. Carvilius hits four. Four damage. Really good. This thing is very nearly dead and yet not definitely dead yet. That is Morgan's turn. Morgan.
Go.
Morgan looks at this wolf and goes,
"You piece of shit."
And he
go
rolls.
On, Morgan.
Go on, Morgan.
He rolls his longsword. Let me see what he has. It's a plus to his longsword. He has a plus five to hit. He rolls a three, which becomes an eight. Morgan is... like, Morgan has died twice. Like, Morgan has had a rough morning.
How did he make Sergeant?
He's more powerful than all of you. He swings. It doesn't happen. He is going to...
His arm's been mangled.
He's really, really in a mess. That's his turn. That is I. Back round to the top of the order.
Come on.
So from my stealthy position,
yep.
I would like to get a shot off on... I mean, do I go for... Do I mean, I've got a sight.
You can see.
Here.
You can see. Yeah.
This one's low. I think I'm just going to go for the stealth shot on the one by Morgan.
Yep.
Okay.
Go on, I.
So that is an 18.
Hits.
Okay. There we go. Hits for six.
Okay.
And then with the stealth.
With your sneak attack.
Yeah, sneak attack, sorry. It's not stealth, sneak attack. 4, 10 okay. Combined.
Destroy it.
Yeah! Okay,
good. And then so in this moment I go, you, to get Morgan's attention, and goes, "We all has off days." And then I go, "But not I." Straight through, and this bolt goes straight into the side, like the abdomen mm-hmm. of this beast, tears through it, and you just see the flesh just boom, in half as two ends of this wolf separate and both just crumple to the floor.
Okay. Oh, this tutu sully.
And
flesh.
Then I would like to once again just go, I just went, now that Morgan's
these
looking at me.
Just dropping him.
Now that Morgan's looking at me, I just
disappear behind him.
And that is a no, that's greater. That's a 20, that's a 22.
You know what, it works. That's Dolly's turn.
Okay, I am going to save one spell slot just in case. And I'm just going to go, "Hey, ugly!" And cast Vicious Mockery mm-hmm. at this last wolf, which is Wisdom Saving Throw.
Two on the die.
That's a big old fail.
Becomes a three. Don't know if that changes things.
Big old fail.
Okay. This thing is so nearly dead. but it is still up. I'm so sorry to say it is still up.
I do think "Hey, ugly." And it's just minorly offended, like, ow.
Delian, that is your turn.
It was vicious.
Can I try and move around so I can just get in range to try and longbow this thing?
Yeah, you can get there.
Do I get a line of sight?
You get line of sight.
Yeah, you get line of sight.
Yeah, 25 feet and you've got line of sight.
Right. Just going to... try and
listen. I will level with you. If you hit, it's over.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to because I just rolled with my strength an eight.
You know what? It's not over yet. That is the wolf's the back's turn.
No,
it's gonna take a chomp at Runa.
We can't let it touch.
It rolled a A 12 to hit. Runa has a higher AC than that. Runa's got shield. So
God, someone here does.
It misses.
But we allowed a wolf to take an attack.
To be fair, to Morgan, Morgan has an AC of 18. The wolves have just rolled. They've had advantage almost every round. Oh,
they've had a good day in Vegas. Yeah.
They've had a great time, actually. That is
come on, Nigel.
That is Radiant's turn.
Kill him. Kill him dead.
What we got.
Do something, Radiant.
Do something.
You got the opportunity to be really cool.
He cast shield.
I cast greater invisibility on myself.
I'm going to cast Firebolt. And I'm just going to cast it.
Make an attack.
Oh my god.
That was on its side. Do I need to do that? Or it'll be 11.
I'm afraid an 11 does not hit.
You saved that one spell slot, right?
Yes.
We now move to Kelnis's turn.
Come on, Kelnis.
Kelnis, you do just about have line of sight.
I have line of sight. I have 30 feet
movement. So you can move
I move?
Yeah, of course.
To the wolf?
Can you get there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. I reckon you just about
just
can.
Just hit it. Just hit it.
Just about just can, you little sore spot.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, I'm going to run, and as I'm running... The staff is coming up, and I'm going to go whack.
Okay, make an attack with your quarterstaff.
This will be phenomenal.
So, and this, because of Shillelagh, you need to use your wisdom modifier for the attack rather than your strength. So,
wisdom.
Yeah, so roll a d20.
Oh, no, I think it's spell.
Yeah. So your spell attack modifier... is wisdom. You use wisdom attack. as your casting thing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it's plus your wisdom, which is 6,
yeah,
plus your proficiency, which is 2, so it's
a natural
plus
20.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
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 Yes. Yes. He has 1 HP. If you want to roll the damage, you can. If you just want to narrate how you'd end this wolf.
The last one.
I run up to it. I scream, "You bastard!" And I swing and I hit it square on the top of the head, and it just kind of crumples. It just
and drops. There is a moment of quiet, of stillness. Everybody, roll me Constitution saving throws.
Oh my god.
what did you get, Dolly?
A natural one.
A natural one, okay. What did you get, Ryan?
17.
17. What did you get?
14.
And Delian?
8.
Radian?
15.
Okay. It's just for me to know.
Oh, God.
There's this moment where the battle ends and the Antiqua that are still on the platform, all of them, whether it's Arbuthnot or Malachine or Barabask, they're all down there among you. They're trying to cast healing spells. They're trying to do what they can to restore those of you who've been in the fight. And just as before, nothing's happening.
What just happened? Isn't this isn't how this place is supposed to look, right?
And, Gronoth says, no, this has changed. Something has changed. And everyone roll religion. Mm.
I told you I don't like it.
No, sure.
It's a dirty one.
A dirty one, okay. So you rolled a 2 on the die and
I got a minus one.
Kelnis?
7.
Brady?
7.
8.
I?
3.
Okay. None of you can figure out what the hell is going on. Like this, you're like, let me roll for Morgan. Stranger things have happened. He has a minus one.
I ain't been to church lately.
Ever in my life.
Morgan also can't fathom this. And then Gronoth says, without the divine,
there is no divine magic. And they look at each other, and then as one, they start to bolt towards the back of the plateau, further up the pass. And they're one of them, you hear a shout, you can't even tell who, someone shouts, the Virtuous, and they're running. They've run across the plateau and then over a rise. And you see them scrambling over this rise. What do you guys do?
We got to take off after them.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So literally squishy clerics everywhere.
You're all coming over the top of this rise, and before you is this great set of stairs, and they're fractured, like the stone of the mountain pass has been fractured, black, lifeless. And you see that these stairs lead steeply up towards what must have been a palace. The stone of the palace also cracked. And as you start to climb these stairs, catching up with the rest of the Antiqua, it doesn't smell of decay. It's more unsettling than that. It smells like an absence of life. It smells like nothing. Like there's nothing here. And every time you take a step, you feel that the stone almost start to give way, like you're standing on spent charcoal, like it's crumbling. This whole place is crumbling. There's no sound, and the only colours are the colours that still are streaking across the sky, these swirling patterns and raging against this black. And without these colours, this black would feel like it was endless. And the steps lead up towards this open plaza, and there is a shape lying at the centre of a plaza. And I'm going to roll. Okay, I rolled a nat 20. Carvilius gets there first. And as she runs up, she gets to this figure, and you hear her. In fact, the two of you would hear this in Draconic. Or perhaps, I think you would know, you would have enough command of it. You just hear no. This violent, sudden flood of emotion. And as you all gather round, you see she's cradling a dragonborn. The body of a god. And there's no life in that body. And that's where we'll end our session.
It's all right, I didn't care about him anyway.
So that's it. That is the end of session one of Reliquiae.
Well, you don't do things by hand,
do
you?
If you're going to do it, if you're going to tell a story, you may as well tell it. Thank you, everyone, so much for watching, for listening, for supporting us in however, wherever you're doing that. We are going to now stop for our post-show. Action Surge, so hopefully you can have a little listen to that on whatever platform you might find it. And thank you very much for joining us on the first of what is we think is going to be very, very many adventures in Reliquiae. We are Natural Six or something.
Yeah,
yeah, we are.